This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, 7 o'clock straight up on a Tuesday night, coming to you live from Studio C. This is Clayton McKee alongside Katie June and Al Perkins in studio with us. Marnie Ryer on vacation, actually performing a ceremony in San Francisco with some other friends of ours. So I see on Facebook she's having a good time with Ernie or Aaron, depending on how you know her. So they are having a time of their life, so we're just going to sit here and chat about many, many things, including Facebook rants of desperation.
I think we need to talk about that for a while.
I think we should. I think that's a good second hour topic. I think when we
Facebook
get
rants of desperation. That is good.
We originally, if you were with us when we originally started the show back almost coming up on 2 years, actually, which is neat to think about. We initially were going to have a segment called Suicide. What was it called? A suicide hotline or cry for help.
But we changed the suicide. I can't remember. But it was something because we didn't want to put suicide in it because we didn't want somebody to jump.
Something like drama queen or cry for help or something. But then we realized that everybody that knew us knew we'd be posting their own stuff because there are so many people that...
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we all, no matter where you live, no matter who you are, you know somebody in your list of friends on Facebook, if you have Facebook, who's like that. Or you have friends in real life that, you know, well, how are you? And the first thing is like... Well, you know, it's only Tuesday. How many people have friends that are like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh?
And you know what I love, and sometimes I just rewatch for a whole lot of fun, is Debbie Downer.
I did too with Jimmy, with...
what's that crazy...
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
It's Lindsay Lohan there at Disneyland.
Yes. And the girls, every time they pan into her face and she's like...
That is so funny.
That is good.
Oh, when they're in the fast food restaurant trying to get food, and they cut to her and she loses it every time.
That's the one. But they're at a diner at Disneyland.
Oh, Disney, that's right. Because the characters come into them. That's right. I forgot. Oh my god, that is so funny.
They're totally laughing. Oh, that is good.
Because it's Jimmy Fallon and Horatio Sanz that could never keep it together. That's why Jimmy Fallon was in very few skits, because he was
doing the news and he wrote some stuff.
Yeah,
that was about it.
Better writer than performer, maybe.
Oh, but funny. He's fantastic in the Barry Gibb talk show.
Oh yes, you're
the Barry Gibb talk show. Oh, I don't think I remember that one. But do you remember
the
skit?
It's one with Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake plays Robin Gibb, and he plays Barry Gibb.
Oh,
and everything they do, they harmonize and sing.
So great. Okay, wait. My other favorite skit that he was in was when it was him and Will Ferrell, and I feel like maybe Horatio Sanz as well, and they worked at the clothing store. But it was the Gap. Right? But it wasn't the Gap girls. It wasn't like the old Gap girls. They were working at some like fancy schmancy
store. It was the bitchy queens at the
And Will Ferrell came out he was the boss, and he came out in a wheelchair and opened his tiny flip phone, and they all of them lost their shit. Like, they were hysterically laughing. It's the best to watch.
That is a funny one too.
Oh, for the love. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody who's listening. I don't know. Well, let's take a little quick dinner and see who all is online with us right now. Oh, well, I love it. Kuwait, again, is here listening with us alongside some other people
Kuwait.
In the United States. And again, do join us in the chat room. Say hello. Let us know what you're doing. Well, it's another week. I don't know about you all, but I am over Halloween. I'm beyond over the entire deal. But
Why?
It's because it started in July. I mean, just like Christmas. I mean,
the BS West Halloween show was this weekend, wasn't it?
It was last weekend, last Saturday. Very different energy around that show this year. And obviously for Heather, because the stress was off of her. It was on somebody else. So she was a lot more jovial to be around for that day, because it is a stressful day for them to try to put everything together and to do it all. But the show was different this year. They didn't do a live production. It was DJs and different. It wasn't what we used to do. Last year was the last year of the big show.
Now it's just a block party.
Well, yeah, kind of that way. So even do you remember? Because last year they were trying to get everybody to come back for Nelly's like last hurrah.
Yeah,
and we didn't.
Oh, the show.
And we didn't bother. Yeah, well, I did. I just was there for work, not for performance wise. But yeah, so they did that, and it's just been for 3 weeks now. We've been doing stuff at Charlie's with it, and it's dragged on and on and on.
It is the gay holiday.
I'm really super surprised. Like, I keep missing the fact that it actually hasn't even happened yet.
No,
like,
it's
Halloween
Thursday, right.
Has not even happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is like a real mind fuck to try to, you know, put my days with my Facebook like timeline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it seems like, yeah, you're right.
That it's always the weekend. The Halloween for the adults
yeah.
is the weekend prior. Because mm-hmm. nobody, by the time, like if you did it the weekend after, everyone is tired of
you're
it.
You're done.
Right. Well,
by that time, then you're really
however,
fucking
sick the of it. Saturday, at, we're celebrating the Day of the Dead on Saturday at Charlie's.
Oh,
so it
yeah.
continues
Dia
on.
Dia de los Muertos.
Yes, so that's not on the right day either.
No, it's not. It should be Friday.
Yeah,
it should be Friday.
Well, you know what? I don't know if All Saints Day, I don't know if All Saints Day and Day of the Dead are the same day. I actually don't know that.
According to what I read online, it starts. It's the 48 hours
Let's
following
Google.
Halloween.
Oh, okay, which, then that would work.
So, but it ends at midnight on Saturday.
Well, yeah, you can't have bar. You can't have bar time.
But that's what
that's
they're
what
doing.
I wasn't sure. I know All Saints Day is the 1st of November, and it's why elections can never be held on the first. Like that's why there's that big long law about how we vote. It's because of to keep it away from All Saints Day.
Oh.
So it can't be the first Tuesday. It has to be the first Tuesday after the first Monday. That's how they have to word it to get around keeping religion out of politics.
Oh.
Is to make sure
that
well,
that.
Good luck with
so
that. You guys are doing a really good job.
It was well, it was to help Catholic. It was to because Catholics wouldn't
sure,
vote on
like
All Saints Day.
The history of it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Sensible.
Did this have to do with getting JFK elected at one point?
No. It's an old, old law.
Longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it was just a way for Catholics to feel comfortable about voting on what is a very religious day for Catholics.
Is that
All Saints Day?
All Saints Day, yeah. Because it is all their saints, including Mary, the Mother of God. Like, it's a big fucking deal.
All these fictitious characters all rolled up in one holiday.
No, but the saints are mostly real. Like, Mary did exist.
Well, right, a Mary, yeah sure.
Yeah. And they're not fictitious. They just, it's whether or not you believe. Like, Protestants don't believe Mary's a saint. That's, and they went to
oh,
war.
I don't really care
they
shit
went
about,
to war over that for like 400 years.
I don't really give a shit about whether they're saints or real or not. I just, there's a couple parts of that story that really just don't add up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, anywho.
But the fact that they all believe the same book, but they went to war over whether or not there is a St. Mary or not
a St.
Mary.
Yeah, all of them.
All variations of the same story.
Yeah.
They
right,
all
exactly.
want to fight about it. Right.
Kind of sounds like me and Kelly with the Charger.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. See,
a little bit.
We just got to go like a 400-year war, and then we'll just all decide to just get over
buy
it.
Buy a new Charger.
We'll burn a couple people. We'll tear up their hair with knives.
Sacrifice
and then
some.
Then we'll just decide, you know what? Never mind. Yeah.
I was wrong. Sorry.
Let's just hold hands.
No, we can just like each other.
Come on over.
Can we go to the Apple store and buy a new charger? Because that would solve so many fucking problems right now. Mm-hmm.
I would go to... do not go to the Apple store for
I'm trying to get. I'm trying
go
to get...
Go to Target and get the Griffin stuff or Griffith or whatever
I'm
it is.
I'm trying to get them to replace it. Yeah, I know you did. And I haven't done anything with it yet, to be totally honest.
This is more of her passive aggressiveness about the charger.
Because, like, seriously, anything that's at Apple for, like, $100, Target has the Griffin brand for, like, $10.
Yeah, Best Buy, too.
Yeah. And they you get those off-label, not Apple, but made-for-Apple products.
Yeah, I love them. That's what I love those products.
I actually just recently went through one of those things, and I don't know if Apple actually supplies the extended batteries, but I had an issue with my Mophie battery, and I shipped it back to the factory, which after talking to them and emailing this one person and the ship-to address that I have, I think they work out of a storage unit in Poughkeepsie, and because it was just like, I'm sending, you know, to some guy named Bob, and here's my address, and it's unit number, whatever, and the wonderful attention, it's like, okay, there's three people in your office, aren't there?
Yeah.
That's all there is, and they're shipping these from Canada, you know, from China somewhere. Anyway, again, made for Apple, not Apple, much better price point.
Price point,
yeah.
Still, I mean, made just across the street from the Chinese sweatshop that is Apple.
Yeah.
Right, no
yeah,
kidding,
it's
right.
It's Chinese sweatshop
they're
that is Griffin.
They're coming over on the, it's on the same
or
boat.
Mophie.
Coming
yeah,
over
or,
on the same boat,
yeah.
Yes. Well, going back to the Halloween thing, I know that you have a special thing you have to do because you have a child.
Right.
So what are you about? What hell are you about to go through?
Right. Well, and I am on board. And although I did not celebrate adult Halloween, which I had planned to, but then I just was real tired and didn't feel like it. So
you got to shoot your wad one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just wait
so
for the kid thing.
Exactly. So we've done, we had to do a... we went to a pumpkin patch, which was all costumes and the whole thing, when a couple 2 weeks ago in Colorado.
Okay.
So that's kind of when
we started. I think I remember
seeing pictures
of that too.
And then we've been to a pumpkin patch with just the family. We went to the pumpkins at the peak at the Squaw Peak Resort. We went to the balloon spooktacular, way the fuck out in Talking Stick. We are going trick or treating.
What's the balloon? I need to know.
It was stupid.
I'm going to need a judge's ruling. What the hell is that?
It's the balloon spooktacular. So do you remember when you were a kid and they used to do the big, giant hot air balloon races? I don't know if they had
those.
They
don't do that in Niagara Falls because of
you mean like in Albuquerque?
Certain death and weather, yeah.
The Falls, sure.
Certain death and weather. Pick your poison.
So they do them in Albuquerque now. Right. They used to do them in Phoenix.
Right, I remember
those. A long time ago. And so... Yeah. It's very similar to that, although they don't fly off because it's at night. But it's all kinds of cool balloons, and they light up all
like
their
hot
balloons.
Air balloons.
Hot air balloons.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so there are little rides. You know, they ride you in the tethered hot air balloons. There's bounce houses. There's fun stuff for kids, and you can visit each balloon, and they give out candy, and then there's food booths and a live band, and it was that kind of thing.
Oh, that's good.
Really, it's just like thousands of people all clamoring all over each other. It was.
So that's not good.
Just too much.
I'm already
going to change my vote.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Is there wine? Because Al might get back on board.
Yes.
And it's probably pumpkin flavored though.
It was just all like shitty Sutter Homes.
It's that pumpkin douche.
Yeah.
It's that one from Saturday Night Live.
Never mind. Which she's sitting there scooping out the pumpkin. That's Kate McKinnon.
Oh my god, the girl
she
you love.
Is the funniest fucking lady.
Wait,
she makes
pumpkin
any...
douche. Is that
did
a
you
new
not see
it?
That?
On Facebook?
No,
we've got pumpkin spice douche.
No, but that's
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I'll put it. Oh, I thought you were one of the people that liked it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, you'll have to. It's right, some time.
I'll put it on the Facebook page and I'll send it to you. It's hysterical, and it's just, and I call it the bat shittery that is now everything pumpkin. Like,
yeah.
And I was making a new friend in Philadelphia, the girl I traveled with. We're getting to know each other. Yeah. We're becoming friends. And, you know, I hear her pumpkin spice story. So I'm like, all right, confide in me. Here it is. It's September 18th. It's still 160 degrees. There's not a brown leaf in sight.
Yeah.
Like, we're make-believing here in the Northeast that it's fall. Like, it's still hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you get sick of that pumpkin spice, she's like, about September 21st. She's like, I like it for like 2 days, and I'm like, can I have coffee again?
Oh, it's super true. Every time that Starbucks rolls out their pumpkin spice, and I do it with the gingerbread and the eggnog and every other, you know, fucking holiday flavor that they have, and I get like really excited, and I tell people about it, and I'm genuinely psyched.
It's just like you on a diet.
For like a day.
It's just like you on a diet, Katie.
It really is. Because
but this time it's the whole world.
I drink like 2 pumpkin spice lattes and then I am I'm moved on. I'm over it. And I go back to my normal thing.
I do enjoy the eggnog latte, but I found out that I can get it other places than the Starbucks.
Right.
But no,
like
I
last
do
week
enjoy
here
that.
On the show.
Right. Well, that's a different that was totally different. Good. By the way, that eggnog not nearly as good without booze in it. It's a different flavor. I hadn't had it
good with
without
booze.
Booze, but it was Anyway, I like it better.
And that's another one. I can't stand eggnog.
Oh, I love.
Oh,
it.
I do. I love
but
it.
I do love the expression. It's rarer than eggnog. Like there's, I can't remember
I
what.
I did not know that was an expression.
It is. It's from a really
isn't
funny.
A movie?
No, it's from a really funny humorist that I read, and he's very funny. And he was like something like, you know, like you getting offered a blowjob by someone that you kind of like. Take it. It's rarer than eggnog.
And eggnog is
rare.
Yeah, it really is.
I was like,
especially like real true eggnog.
It's annual.
I just had to hand it out. Then I'm like, that's a funny expression.
That's
so I slip in the rarer than eggnog whenever I can.
In the holidays? Around the holiday time?
Oh, no, all year round. Like when somebody says something, I'm like, you know, that's rarer than eggnog.
Well, I think there's some people have no idea what you're even talking about in regards to eggnog.
Eggnog really is, I love it. It's a good flavor.
But I'm tainted from the standpoint of I don't like what is available here.
Yeah.
What I grew up on back in Missouri, that dairy, that brand, that flavor, that's what I like. I mean, I'm sure you all had from things from back in Buffalo. You know, there's a certain flavor of wherever you got some pastry or something.
Oh my God, root beer.
Okay, root beer would be another thing.
It's like something I don't ever drink unless I'm back at this one tiny little hot dog stand on the side of the road in Joliet, Illinois.
Okay.
It's like the only good place to get root beer.
There you go.
Yeah, what was it called?
Hey Hot Dog.
Hey Hot Dog.
And every time we go back, which has become a more, the occasion of us going back to Joliet is rarer than eggnog, really, at this point. But when we do.
See how easy it is?
It's fun. Yeah.
You can drop it in anywhere.
Anyway, so Halloween.
And I wish I knew who to give credit for, because that essay was so goddamn funny.
Well, I bet you could Google it and find out.
And I just might.
Yeah.
So our Halloween continues on Thursday, and then we're done.
Okay.
And as the kid gets older, it's just going to get worse and worse to, like, adult Halloween will have no meaning to you until, like, she's 21 yeah. and gone off to college.
Well, and that's the thing about this balloon spooktacular. It was bullshit. And as Kelly and I were leaving, because it was just, like, it was like Pride, but you weren't drinking. Because it's with the dust, you know?
So it really sucked.
So it fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And it was, there were just people everywhere with strollers, and kids are screaming, and Palmer didn't like the balloons. She was scared of the fire.
Oh.
And, yeah. And,
well, that's a good thing to be scared of.
Well, fire. I understand.
Fire.
But has she not been around open flame before?
I don't, like, not in
nope,
that really
met us.
Big, well, loud capacity.
Flame, yeah, different things.
Right. In that, it is so loud. She was going, because she loves balloons. You don't, every time she goes to say I something, it's you. And I think because I say, oh, you don't like this, so she... Oh,
she
refers to herself as
she's you.
So she's
good
going,
parenting.
You don't
Katie.
Like this. You don't like this balloon. You don't like it. And she's going, get you away from it. And I'm going, okay. And then there were bounce
Lesson
houses.
Lesson learned. So guess we went next year. No, not
I know.
So much.
Well, so the bounce house is what she loves. And every time she'd go into the bounce house,
Lowe's or loves?
Loves.
Okay.
Oh, I heard Lowe's as well. Yeah. So she's going in them yeah. against her will, them.
Like fishes in Lowe's later.
She loves them.
The child went handcuffed into the bouncy house.
She was the only kid that the employee of every bounce house had to go in after. Kicking and screaming, mind you, that she would throw herself down and kick in the temper tantrum.
Because she wouldn't leave.
Because she did not want to leave.
Right.
So it was that.
Why did she have to?
Over and over. Well, you know, it's a timed thing.
Oh, okay.
And you have to pay the tickets. It's a whole fucking thing.
So and Kelly has learned that we're going to have bounce houses at your house on a regular basis.
Every birthday. Right. It's the thing. But we were
laughing.
They also
make adult bounce houses.
As we were leaving, we were like, that sucked. And then I said, but I wonder if, like, you look around at all the kids there and they think it's so cool. And I'm like, is this what we have to do for the rest of our lives? Like, do we have to go to these shitty things that we hate? Because Palmer's going to think it's cool at some point.
Welcome to parenthood.
Well, no, yes. you got to make that connection where she likes it and you kind of like it.
Yeah.
Like, she likes it and you tolerate it because you don't want, because she'll start to get your energy.
Yeah.
If you're taking her somewhere that she likes and
because
you can't
stand. Because we did go to this Pumpkins at the Peak. It was at Squaw Peak at the Hilton. And it was out in their pool River Ranch area. And that was actually cool. It was a lot smaller, more kind of like that local community oriented. Yeah. They had a bar. So that was super.
So they
that
were on
was
board
e-
for that.
That had like
parenting
good beer.
The Perkins way. They had a bar.
Easy to access. I tell you what, I learned from my dad. And let me just tell you, because I just remembered this. When we were going to the pumpkin patch in Colorado, and my mom said to my dad, do you want to go on this? And he looks at me and he's like, no. And I go, oh, you really don't want to go? And he goes, Kate, I want to go sit on a train for a half fucking hour and go somewhere where there's not going to be beer. No, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, perfect.
Smart man.
And so this is where I get it, right?
Yeah.
It is a family passed down. Anyway, I'll have to go to those, pick those nicer, smaller community things. And they did cute. You know, there was a cupcake walk. And there
a bounce
were craft
house
tables.
Isn't a tough call. Like, a bounce house is not the toughest thing to find
no.
at a child's event.
And no. You also know that coming down that pike, there's going to be those times you can pass Palmer off on your mom who will go do anything with her. Mom will do shit she doesn't even want to do just to spend time with Palmer. And you'll be like, okay, take her. I'm sure that's coming.
I realized also Morgan, real good for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she
Palmer
wants
probably
to
doesn't even know the difference between you and Morgan.
Probably not. And she wants to spend lots of time with Aunt Mo, so I look forward to passing off some of those unfortunate duties.
Funny you call her Aunt Mo.
I know. I mean,
she has some Uncle Mo's too.
That really is where it doesn't just take the village for the child. It takes the village for the parent too.
Oh yeah,
because you need respite care. You've got to be like,
gosh.
Oh my god, Grandma wants you for the day. See you later.
Wouldn't it be fun to go for you to go with Mom?
I know. Yes. I've done that. And
Grandma bought you a drum set. Let's keep it at Grandma's house.
Yes.
My sister and her girlfriends had this little this evil Christmas tradition of buying the child, because their kids are all like within 6 years of each other, buying their child the loudest, most obnoxious toy they could just to drive their friend batshit. Because the one that had the baby first got like, and it wasn't a drum set, but it was the equivalent.
Right.
And she was like, oh, this will come back.
Yeah.
This gift is coming back to haunt you. Yeah. And then once the new mom realized, oh, sweet Jesus, it's a tambourine.
This is a
it
horrible
It won't go
gift.
Away. It doesn't have a volume. It just keeps playing.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's a jingle bell to them, but to the rest of us, it's hell on earth.
And our friends are already doing it. Our friends got Palmer a vacuum cleaner.
Oh,
for
exciting.
Her second birthday.
No, not with that noise.
And,
not if mommy's hungover. There's
and
no more evil noise in the world.
She loves the vacuum cleaner.
But is it one of those vacuum cleaners that just you roll it and the bubbles pop up in it?
No, she had that previously.
The old Fisher Price
this
one.
That's
is
missing.
Like a,
strangely missing.
Yeah. No, this
one
is
hangover
like,
six
it's
months
a
ago.
Fun Minnie Mouse. And it you you know, start rolling it. And as soon as you move it, it's...
Oh.
I mean, it's like a real...
Yeah, when mommy drinks, those toys don't last.
Yes. That's so true. Yeah.
They go right out into the back garage.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened to your vacuum. Isn't that strange?
Isn't that strange?
She has a train set I'm about ready to do that with.
About
ready.
It went out to the country.
No, it sings. Elephants on the zoo. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it is this whole...
I never had a singing train.
It's horrible.
I had real trains that you could make steam and smoke and whistle with.
And that's why you have a basement, so that there's a whole level between you and the noise that those toys make.
God, my parents got a basement house that was the smartest thing they ever did.
Oh, yeah. Because you want all that shit and another level.
And all the toys and all of our shit was in the basement.
Remember all the stories he's told us about Donna Summer?
And oh, yeah.
Not that I have an opposition to Donna Summer, but apparently the entire...
Well, your whole family doesn't. From birth to when he moved to it. All day, every day.
All of 60th Street could hear me singing.
Yeah.
Could somebody shut that kid up?
Sadly, they still can.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's my Halloween, my holiday. Alti Perkins, how was your week?
Well, I did my... Hey, Tyler. I did...
Oh, Tyler's here. Hi.
I did my grown-up Halloween. It's, I guess, because a lot of people that I work with listen, so we'll just call her one of my favorites and let them figure out who the rest of them are.
Let them fight over it.
Yeah. Managers, bosses, whatever. She is, her birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, Angie. And turns out she's my spooktacular partner in all my horror shows. Like anything creepy that I watch or any... She's always like, what creepy show are you watching now? What, like, what's keeping you up at night? Because she loves everything scary, everything horror-related. Because with the Halloween birthday, she's just kind of learned to embrace it and take it on.
Yeah,
so,
that's fun.
Oh, so like me in the MDS telethon. Because
exactly.
I never had a birthday without
muscular dystrophy. It's really great.
Yeah, that was really...
And see, and mine is any horrible restaurant experience, because my birthday is always on Mother's Day when children screaming is part of any experience.
And you can't get a reservation anywhere?
Yeah, but that's why if my birthday falls on a Sunday, I won't tell you. I'll make it any other day of the week to avoid
this
ever...
This year it's on Thursday.
Yeah, and ever celebrating my birthday on Mother's Day. I've learned my lesson. And the funny thing is, my niece who's born on the 9th, same problem. So she's like, oh, fuck no. She's like, we will not be going anywhere on Sunday because I don't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now she's old enough to hate children.
It's just a shit show. Yeah. Unless you are a mother, stay home.
Yeah. And my mom wouldn't go out either. She's like, I don't want to listen to other people's kids scream. I don't even want to hear mine. Why would I go to a restaurant with all of them?
Maybe at one point my mom would have been on board with that, but now I even know better. I'm like, no. We'll go to the least booked restaurant ever if we're going out on that day.
Like strippers. Like somewhere where there's no chance of a child.
Can we go to Hooters for Mother's Day?
Exactly. Christie's Cabaret. I hear they have a great steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
That's how you got a plan.
By the way, my mother heard, happened to be listening to the show when we were talking about how you took your mom out for Mother's Day, and she's like, why don't you do that?
Sorry about
it. Because you're a mother now.
Although,
you're with the
but
hook.
It is such a cute idea. Oh. How you take your or not from? I'm sorry. I'm thinking birthdays, but I was just think I put the wrong days. Well,
okay,
that's what she was
say,
listening to and talking
was,
about.
Right.
No,
so I took
about
mom
how you take your mom out
for
your birthday
for my birthday,
and that's what my mom's like. I mean, something now, to think about.
In fairness. That hasn't been all of the 44 years. It just, this year, it all worked out, and we hadn't spent time together, and it worked out perfectly. I'm like, well, why wouldn't I take her to dinner?
It's such a cool thing. I'm sorry, I don't mean to totally change the subject, but it's a cool thing, and my mom was eavesdropping on that.
Well,
she likes the idea.
I think Mother
She's
June
looking for ways
should
to get a free dinner.
Yeah, well, there's that. But, reserve wisely wherever you're going to go.
Right.
If you need a good hairdresser,
but
no,
not
I
for
have
your
one.
Birthday.
I'm sorry?
Not for your birthday.
That's when I took mom off.
Right, but that's what she's saying. So it doesn't run into the same Mother's Day problems as taking your mom out for Mother's Day.
Oh, no. Because Mother's Day's in May, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, right.
I'm nowhere near that.
So, I call it might as well be Easter. It's such a fuck show.
Right, so there's May. Mom's birthday.
They are the same kinds of things. It's like dress up frilly, go out to brunch, and everybody else
and experience
stay home.
True terror in hell with children that you never
And mom's
see
birthday's
again.
Not near Mother's Day, so it just happened that this last birthday, we just happened to go out and
you
do it on my
day.
Yeah, it all works out something like that.
So Angie arranges this thing and she brings her children who are a lot of fun and think me screaming is very entertaining.
They didn't realize you were really screaming.
Yeah. So I missed your, this is the third annual. I missed year number one because they didn't make it as publicly announced. And they went to the Nest, which I'm hoping next year they will go back to the Nest because I really want to see what that's all about because it sounds scary. And last year we did the 13th floor up in the Northwest Valley.
Okay. So you just go along with this, like, to join the bandwagon? Is this, like, a bandwagon-y thing? It's, like, you really like haunted houses?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Oh, for God's
sake. Oh, I love everything.
Just
you
never.
Know that about I love everything scary.
But haunted houses is taking it to the whole new level.
Oh, so we... Well, so last year we
I
did,
wouldn't so. Sleep
We
for
did the
weeks,
13th
months.
Floor.
I'm with you. I won't... No. Why would I pay to be terrified
because it's so much fun, and
it's not.
It really is like both sides of the spectrum. Like you scream at the top of your lungs, and then you just laugh because then you realize what just scared you, and you're like, "Oh my god, I'm laughing at someone who's not even like in Actors Equity." You know what I mean? We're at the lowest end of the field. But so last year it was the 13th floor, which is the Northwest Valley, and was. Oh, look, at Tyler lives haunted houses too, but his birthday is tomorrow.
Oh.
No, his birthday is actually Halloween, I think.
Oh my gosh, wow. Oh,
same
that's
as Ruben Contreras.
Halloween, yeah, I think like, it is really Halloween. Halloween-y guy. Happy early birthday, Tyler.
I did five of them on Sunday night. So we did the 13th floor, and we were a bigger group last year, and Angie organizes this, and she gets us all together. But the problem is when you go with a group of, like, I think there was 20 of us last year, is as you go through the house, and you go through all the rooms and everything, the first people or maybe the second group of four are the ones that get all the hits from the people that are in these things. So if you're not in the first group, you just watch somebody else get scared, and then you just walk through kind of a creepy place. And the good thing about the 13th floor, though, was they did the kitchen from – and I don't know how they get around this with copyright laws. But they did the kitchen from the opening scene of Seven with Sloth, with the dirty kitchen with the cockroaches and the guy, like the fat guy. I know neither one of you have seen it.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, Tyler, it was about a fat guy face down and thing. Where is Molly Montgomery when I need her?
No.
So they did that, and that really disturbed me. And this time we did, it's called Fear Farm, and it's out by Avondale. I don't know what it's called. 99th Avenue and McDowell, wherever
that
is.
Yeah, Avondale.
Okay. I think I did go to the Fear Farm one time. And you kind of go through a maze.
There's five different haunted houses.
Okay. I must have gone through whatever it says, like, this is the baby phase. This is like the baby.
Right. None of us even bothered.
This was like when I was in like,
it's like the bunny
high school. It's been around for a long time, or college maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember going in, and I was kind of ready to be scared because I was younger and more open to that. Now that my old age, I've become more conservative. And I was excited about it. And it was so stupid. And I went with my high school little girlfriends or whatever. And I remember that the people who were in the cast were hitting on us. Like, it was so poorly run. I mean, they were other young, like, guys that were trying to flirt with us this haunted house. And I'm going, this is the biggest waste. So you had your chance, haunted houses. You had your chance with me. And you lost me.
Well, they've upped their game. Because this is, it's, you can do the corn maze, and the corn maze is not haunted. So
that's what we did. People jump out at you.
No, it's not. It's nothing like that. There's a corn maze. And none of us got the point of it, because it's not The Shining.
It's
so
just
we're
a
like,
big maze.
Yeah.
So we just moved on. We're like, that's fucking stupid.
Right.
But we did... And I was trying to remember, there was an alien one that was like Area 51 or whatever, Area 46, whatever that's called in New Mexico. There was a clown funhouse, which Doug Wilkie would have seriously needed therapy after, because that one was terrifying. The first thing that came out at us was a clown on stilts. So you didn't realize that what you were looking for was like
above you,
10 feet higher, and the guy could swoop down and all of a sudden be next to you, and it looked like he was flying in from space in clown face. Oh my god!
No, thank you.
Nope.
Terrifying.
Nope.
So they did the alien one, which I thought they owed copyright laws to, because they seriously had like they had Alien 3. I know none of you have seen these movies.
I can picture from the. No, I've seen.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Like Alien Resurrection, previews, where they have all the. They have all the pods with the different Sigourney Weavers in different phases, and you go through all this.
I like Sigourney Weaver. Does that count?
Sure.
Points?
Yeah. I liked her, too.
Good. All right.
My question is, I realize that you're all about royalties and people making, it's their idea and copyright stuff, but I'm thinking, really, in a haunted house?
Well, they're making a fortune there.
Yeah, right, but it's, are they going to police the entire fucking nation who's going to recreate every scene?
No, but I'm
from,
just saying, like, you should have to pay something to take a scene right out of a movie and charge $21 a person. That's a good, healthy sum. $21 a person times, this thing's been going on for...
Yeah, long time.
Long time. Fear Farm's been there. So it was so much fun. And then they took you through a fairy tale one, like twisted fairy tales that went out into a corn maze and back in through like Alice in Wonderland's dinner. But the clown one had a contortionist hiding in the ceiling, and she would like come down. Oh, there was some scary shit.
So like good production value.
Oh yeah, really good. And we were all screaming.
Silver lining, Katie. I like you.
And this time we were only nine, so everybody kind of bunched together. And then they come through the crowd, and there's one guy that, like, and they're very good about coming through the crowd, because everybody, there's people in costumes, there's people in makeup, there's people doing stuff, and you don't know who's a patron and who's one of the people. And the funniest thing is we had our little funnel cakes, and we're sitting on some bales of hay, and we're just chit-chatting. There was like four kids and all adults, and we're all like laughing and talking. And this guy comes up, and he was so good at it. And you didn't want to interrupt them. You knew how good they were at what they did. So this guy comes up, and he's got like, it looks like his whole face is missing. Like, you can just see his jaw.
Oh, right. Like, you know, the makeup, I mean? Like, it's is all, so
the
good.
The makeup, yeah, was so good. And so what he does is they just come in next to you. And so we were letting them do it, like, because we were a group of nine. So it's kind of hard. You can't sneak up on all nine of us. So he would just work his way into between us, and then he would just stand next to you. So you thought you were still with the person, but he would nudge you, and you hope that you would play along. So he would nudge you out of the way so that he would be standing
the person next to you that didn't realize it.
Well, this girl, Louisa, who I like her, but we've never really chatted before. He got like right up next to her on the bales of hay and like came in between her and her daughter. And this one none of us saw. None of us saw him swoop in. We just noticed it before she did.
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh, that's really fucking bizarre that he got. And his face was right next to hers. And she turned to say something to her daughter. And like, there's like this face missing its entire jaw. She screamed, flew across a bale of hay and like face planted into the dirt and was like crawling away because, I mean, and it was priceless,
because
not only did she get the scare of her life, but the rest of us got, I mean, we laughed first. And that's the thing, is like, it's kind of scary, and then there's these guys come up to you and you think, oh, they're just creepy and they're doing their zombie walk,
right?
And then you don't realize they're holding a chainsaw down by their leg, and they rev up the chainsaw, and they, and it's very startling, because you're like, all right, your makeup's creepy, fine, you're gonna this chainsaw comes out, and then they touch you with it, and you know it's not, doesn't
real,
have the chain on it.
Right.
No, but it's a real chainsaw. It's just missing the chain. And they touch you, and you feel that hot motor and the vibration, and you lose your fucking mind. And there were people, and
again,
they, and
I'm
they
not
would,
paying for this.
Yeah. But they would find people that they knew would run. Like, right. They wouldn't, they were going,
sure,
after
they
me.
Pick, they can pick them out of a crowd probably pretty easily.
Right, you're not going to come
who's
after
the
me.
Who's the super scaredy cat, and who's going to play?
No,
who's
no, no.
Like into
no,
it?
Who's fit enough to actually run?
Oh,
like,
I
you're
got
not going to go after the fat middle aged guy because you might give him a heart attack. You're going to go after the teenage girl who's truly going to run for her
and
life
and scream her bloody head off.
That
oh, that's
so
good.
Wait, did you see the Ellen show this week? They send, apparently every year Ellen sends her producer, her executive producer, out to a haunted house. And so this year they sent, in addition to the executive producer, some marketing guy who is like this just super queenie gay guy. And it was fucking hysterical. And they went to the L.A., whatever it was called, but it was Walking Dead. And it was in through the chains, like you're walking in between the two chain link fences, and then you go into the prison, and it was all Walking Dead set up, and it was all of these zombies. And
they probably
it was,
paid royalties, by the
yeah.
way.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because it was no, like, in Hollywood, and it was called The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Somebody got money
you
out of it.
You start that shit, you yeah. know, you got yeah. pay money.
And it was, they normally make this girl go by herself, and so she was so happy to have someone else, so she was like, pushing him out in front
oh,
of
oh, and you do, and you push people out of your way.
Her?
And it was mostly women. I think it was only, like, the only other guy was, like, a 12 or 13-year-old kid who was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And one time I actually made him Operation Human Shield. Like, yes. Somebody jumped out, and I seriously whipped him in front of me. And he thinks it's funny, because he thinks I'm funny. So, but you, it's just so much fun to get that big of a scream out of it, and then you just laugh your ass
off. Oh, well,
up.
This was so funny to watch, because he was getting serious. Like, he was talking to them. He's going, no, no, you do not. You get away from me. You turn around. I mean, he was, like, yelling at them. I mean, he was screaming.
Angie's
was...
one daughter, they I swear to God, they were radioing ahead, like, okay, there's
so
a girl with,
funny.
Like, big hair that is a lot of fun to play with. Fuck with her. And she was like, what did I do to you? I'm a nice
yes.
person. And they were, but they were swooping.
And, but that's why they keep doing it, because she says that, and it's fun.
It was so much fun. And
count
then
me
the
out.
End,
I'd like to live vicariously through you
one. There was a bucking bronco when we made the one girl that, she's the educator, and she's a lot of fun. She's from the car accident. So she got on the bucking bronco, but I'm like, no, that's a back injury waiting to happen. I'm not getting on that thing. But they had this thing that you sit strapped side by each, as my Polish neighbor would say.
Side by each.
Side by each. And you sit strapped in, and it's a circle, and you sit in two chairs across from each other, and he spins it. And this guy's like, Herc, you fucking Lees. He spins it around, and the video is on, it's on Facebook, and it is so goddamn... So I looked at Cam, oh, no, the video of me. It's on my Facebook. It's on my YouTube page now. A. Perkins is my YouTube channel. And you can't see me. You can just hear me scream. So I'm eyeing this thing up because I love rides. I love being flipped upside down. Anything that could possibly make somebody throw up, I want to go on it. So the Bucking Bronco I wasn't into, but I walked over to the I looked at the kid, and I'm like, are you going to ride the Bronco because your mom wants to? And he's like, no, I don't. That doesn't look like a lot of fun. I'm like, do you want to ride that thing with me? Because I don't want to ride it alone because I'm a middle-aged man, and that's really weird. That would make this story even creepier. And he's like, oh, are you going to do that? He's like, everybody says they're going to throw up. I'm like, I don't throw up over anything. So, yes, I want to do that. Like, I have not met the thing that makes me – you can't do anything to my body that makes me sick to my stomach. So, yes, I want
to
do it.
Make note of that. So,
that's awesome.
And I love it that Tyler worked in them. I would kill to work in one of those because that'd be even more fun to scare other people. So he goes on, and then Angie's daughter is like, oh, I kind of want to go on that too, but everybody says they're going to throw up. I'm like, you're not going to throw up. Just get that out of your head. Just don't think about throwing up and you won't throw up. Or you might. Who knows? So then Luisa's daughter's like, I really want to go on it, but all the adults are saying we're going to throw up. I'm like, you're not going to throw up. Just get on the fucking thing. So I paid for me and the three kids to get on it. And we had so much fun. And it felt like it went on for 20 minutes. Like, I thought it was way too long. And then I watched the entire video from the guy starting the initial ride to me stumbling off it. It was like 3 minutes and 47 seconds. And it felt like it was an hour long. And he got the thing going so fast. And you have two seat belts is all you have. It's certain death. You're in a round cage with a chair.
Yeah.
With two.
That was those fair rides.
Two seat belts that are out of a car that probably got disassembled and sold 40 years ago.
Right.
And you just, and he spins you. He does it himself. And then you can't balance the weight too much because you need one side to be a little bit heavier to like get the momentum going and then get it swing and holds you upside down for a little while and then spins it. And this guy is like so strong that he got it going so fast. Then he stops it because we were all like screaming. I mean, I laughed so hard I thought I was going to die. And he's got me hanging upside down. He's like, everybody okay? And we're like, yeah, like, we're fine. Because he says, if you throw up, you're throwing up in the person across me.
Oh, right. God, that's so awful.
So then, just as you thought you're used to it, he spun it the other way. Oh, so your equilibrium is completely fucked. And the boy, Cam, he was like, it felt like we were going 18 different directions. Because you know how you spin real fast in one direction? Yeah. And then if you spin the other, like, even once, you're like, what happened?
Oh, right.
So you're flying, and he kept hanging us upside down and spinning us. And it was so much fun. And then I saw the video and I'm like, 3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Hey, what's your YouTube page again?
A Perkins.
A Perkins.
Tricky.
One word. Is it like one word?
Yeah, one word.
It's tricky.
So, Clayton, how did Halloween abuse you?
Well, aside from having to set up and do everything for the Halloween show at BS West, then it was run, get that done, and then run to Charlie's for their thing, yada, yada. We all got through it. It's all over, and I'm happy about that. Now, I'm already prepared for this Thursday because I have no candy in the house, and I already have my sign that I use every year that is in English and in Spanish that says, I have no candy. So I will be leaving my house at some point.
No tengo dulce.
Whatever. It's already on the computer. I just have to reprint it. So so I'll be done with that. Now for Charlie's, because they've done all kinds of things with the
with the
night of dead Hollywood stars and this person and that person. Tonight they're doing divas. So everybody's encouraged to dress up as whatever diva they want. Not that it's scary. It's just it's Halloween. So there's Cher.
It's adult Halloween, not scary drag.
Right.
And so every costume is slutty.
So it's some, like, for example, yeah. Carlton, I think, was going as Britney Spears.
That's not a diva.
No. Well, he thinks it is.
I know.
So there's Britney and Miley and all these other people. Cher, so on and so on. So Ruben decided, and this is great, Ruben decided to go as Freddie Mercury. Look at this.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Oh, that's really good.
I thought he was good. So Ruben.
Does he have the buck teeth? Because you can't do it without the buck teeth.
No,
the teeth have to be horrible.
He decided not to fuck up his teeth. He just won't smile a lot. So Charlie's thought is they're all doing divas. But I'm just going to be glad that it's all over with and done. And then we can move on to whatever we have to suffer through to get through Thanksgiving. And then Christmas, which I absolutely can't stand. So there's that.
Wait a minute.
I love the music. What? I love the music.
Johnny Mathis has a new Christmas album coming out, too.
And so does Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And somebody else that I really like is putting out a Christmas album.
I don't know.
Annie Lennox was a bit of a disappointment because she's in some kind of fucktard mood. I don't know.
Well, does she do like dark and scary, like Silent Night when
yeah,
Megan Mullally
like,
does
gothic
it?
Gothic carols, and some of them are really pretty, and some of them are like, all right, sweetheart, it's not
want,
Halloween,
like,
it's
traditional
Christmas.
Traditional jazz. I like jazzy old. I like a Harry Connick Jr. Christmas.
And I say it all the time: the best Christmas album ever is
James
Vanessa.
Taylor.
No, Vanessa Williams, Starbright. It is the best.
It is a good album.
Wait a minute, you said that Donna Summer's Christmas album was the best Christmas album ever.
Well, because
I did buy that last year.
But it's all about the Jesus. Donna Summer is all about the Jesus.
Yes, okay,
and there
right.
You'd never forget that it's about the Jesus.
Right.
I think White Christmas is the only secular song she does. But Vanessa Williams, get you some gospel. She gets you some funky.
Okay.
I like
Vanessa Williams.
Yeah. She,
but see, I love.
Vanessa Williams does nothing wrong.
Just, James Taylor's Christmas album,
wrong.
Though. James Taylor's is like, his listening to his voice is like sitting by a fire with hot cocoa.
Oh, yeah.
And just being in a blanket. I love it. I love him and I love his Christmas album, and I already
we'll
can't wait for Christmas. I literally just want Halloween to be over so that I can.
It's coming.
I don't want to wish Thanksgiving away. I don't want to wish away my holiday season. I love the holidays. I love it. But I just can't wait to decorate for Christmas.
I got a text message from the cousin that lives in our house in Joplin, wanting to know if mom and I would come home for Christmas this year. I haven't responded because I just don't know that I can get on board for that and go home. I enjoy the holidays in Phoenix so much now because I can wear cargo shorts and a t-shirt.
That is
and
a
I'm
true
perfectly
story.
Fine. Don't have to worry about no traveling, no airplanes, no airports, you know, on that holiday. I don't mind all that most other times of the year, but for the love of God, I don't want to go get on a...
And I'm the wrong girl to ask about traveling at Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think
Oh, yeah,
so.
That's miserable. But last year, I posted a photo on Facebook of us after we opened our gifts on Christmas morning. Then we went for a lovely walk in the neighborhood, and it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I had to like take pictures of the palm trees and the sun, and I'm like, ha ha.
Yeah.
It's never been such a day.
It was so gorgeous.
Over the years, I've posted pictures of, I just mowed the lawn on Christmas Day or whatever, and I know damn good and well that everybody back home is like shoveling snow. And
all
shit.
I would say is, why is that fucking retard mowing a lawn on Christmas Day?
No.
That would be my response.
No, I just like it
because I wouldn't shovel snow and I wouldn't mow a lawn.
No, but they've got this much snow and ice and
but
shit.
Yes, I think you mow a lawn on Christmas Day just because you can.
No.
Just
yeah.
to prove
I
to
do.
Your friends.
You go to
like,
a movie. I don't care what the weather's like outside. Christmas Day is
so
for
nice.
Movies. But we'll cover that in
entertainment. I'm not going inside during a beautiful day like that. The other thing that happened... Katie, you might... No, you probably don't know this. You ever heard of a show called Gas Monkey Garage? It's a show on Discovery Channel.
I have not.
Okay, never mind. Then I'm not going to even tell the story. Okay. Because... Yeah, I know Al has. There's no reason for that. It is 7:41. Wow. For just the three of us, we've blown a lot of time just talking about... Halloween and other stuff. So now we'll
Katie
go into.
And I talked a lot.
What?
What?
Yeah,
I understand.
Shocking.
It's crazy.
I won't even hear it.
No, I'm sure you won't.
Because I'm too busy talking.
So we'll go into our headline section right now. See if we can get through this. Oh, these and so many other things to talk about. And then there was something else we were going to mention, but we'll remember that here in a minute. Oh, Lord. Well, you can now tweet coffee to somebody. Right clothes and wrong body. Do you have nomophobia? You probably do. Cell phone stops a bullet during a robbery. A gay couple gets married at the Supreme Court. And American music is used to drive away Somali pirates. I'm sure we'll come up with some other things to talk about too. But these stories are coming up right now on Q Talk America and the show.
I still love that song.
Which one?
Stirring anthem.
The stirring anthem of my... Yes, and we don't pay royalties on that either. Anyway, so I know that I know exactly where Al's going to go on this story, but I decided to do it anyway. Though she has sold close to 1 million albums worldwide, it seems that Britney Spears can't count Somali pirates among her many fans. In fact, her tunes
or
are,
me
or you Somali
That's
pirates
two groups out.
And Al Perkins. Her tunes are being used to turn the tide on the high seas of crimes. Merchant Naval Officer Rachel Owens recently spoke to Metro and revealed that the blast of Britney is all it takes to send Somali pirates packing away.
Oh. Her that would work on me, too.
Her songs were chosen by...
I'm a Somali pirate.
Why does that strike me as so funny?
I'm going to remind you of my favorite expression that I say it all the time. Everyone in the world is more talented than
Britney Spears. Her songs were...
Everyone.
Her songs were chosen by...
You poured that glass of wine, you have more gifts than she does. She is literally... She's virtually talent-free.
Her songs were chosen by the security team because they thought the pirates would hate them.
Her songs were chosen by the security team.
Because they thought the pirates would hate them the most.
I want that on a pillow. Security teams choose Britney Spears to scare away terrorists.
According to what they say, the guys of the Somali Pirate Union, or whatever they are, What are you? Are they a union? Are you a club?
The Union of Somali Pirates, officially.
The USP. This says these guys can't stand Western culture or music, making Britney's hits perfect, Owens explained. It's so effective, the ship security rarely ever needs to resort to firing guns.
Oh, there you have it.
Britney Spears saves lives.
Yep, her lack of talent literally will save your life as you go by the Somali coast.
As you run.
Well, that movie with Captain Phillips would be like 10 minutes long, which you'd probably have to listen to a Britney, which would make it unbearable.
Somali, the pirating actually has gone down off the coast of Somalia, so this may be why.
Let's finish the rest of this story. She at least saves bullets, if not lives. As it turns out, Spears is in good company. The Oops, I Did It Again performer and her songs Baby One More Time are far from the only songs used to drive criminal minds to the breaking point. Eminem's The Real Slim Shady was played on a loop for 20 days continually at a U.S. prison in Kabul, according to a detainee who told Human Rights Watch that, quote, plenty of people lost their minds during the broadcast.
Oh, that, seriously, you could take my organs.
Yeah.
Once you got to the third playing of a Britney, we had a strict rule at BS. Sorry, I can't get through a Britney Spears story.
We had a very strict rule
about Britney Spears when I worked at BS West because there was a couple fans. So if I was working.
Kevin Dasso being one of them.
And Casey fucking.
Casey Wood?
Yeah, no, not Wood. What's his last name? Stafford. Oh. You have two songs. Choose wisely. We got 9 hours. You get two songs. And
space those bitches out.
Right, and so on the the greatest thing about when we had the house in P-Town was that there was no stereo, which was annoying the shit out of Matt because he wanted to play show tunes constantly, which I didn't mind, and I wanted to listen to a little disco. But we found this 70s station was the only thing we could find. We looked everywhere. We couldn't get a current station because I knew that me and Kevin we were getting along so well. But I'm like, he's going to want to listen to Britney and I'm going to want to listen. And he likes Donna Summer, but I can't take it.
Right.
Like,
and we won't be friends anymore.
She's not that talented.
I hated the recent song her single that came out with whoever Black Eyed Peas.
I have been Britney Spears free for 7 years.
I couldn't stand that song, and it made me angry because they touted it on. Because I was watching X Factor when she was a judge, which she was horrible. But they were saying that it's Britney's new single release, mega worldwide. This is it. This is the first time you'll ever hear her amazing new release single, and she doesn't. I mean, not that she ever sings, right? Really?
Yeah, she's not. No. Everyone in the world has more talent.
She doesn't sing in the song, and I can't believe that this is even called a Britney Spears song because all she does is. It's Britney, bitch.
What?
So, and that's like your new mega worldwide hit? Anyway.
So continuing on with music that has repulsed people or broken them down. Metallica's music was once on the terror playlist used to, quote, soften people up before interrogation, according to a Navy SEAL who spoke to Esquire magazine. But eventually their metal hits were taken out of the interrogation rotation, I guess. Metallica got wind of this and they said, hey, please don't use our music because we don't want to promote violence, the SEAL recalled. Now, according to multiple reports, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA was a big hit with officials, though. Not the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. The track was used to serve as the morning wake-up call for many, many years.
And I got to interrupt you again. I'm sorry. You're not going to get through this.
I got more.
Born in the USA always has annoyed Bruce Springsteen because it's very, very satirical. Not satirical is not the right word. But it's not a positive song.
It's not about, like, America.
America. It's really kind of like, Ronald Reagan, fuck you. You're killing our country. And no one got that message. If you listen to it, it's a union worker who's out of work and despondent and you're killing our country. And it really is kind of shitty. It's like a Vietnam vet and everyone gets that song wrong. Remember we were talking about hidden meanings in songs?
Yes.
That's a song that everyone gets wrong. And they'll play it and people are like, it's a rousing anthem. Nah, it's kind of what's it called? A hot dog up the tailpipe. What are we calling that?
Well, as we continue on with this story, even kids' songs have been used as weapons. BBC News reported that the theme to Sesame Street and the Barney and Friends classic, I Love You, have both been used by the U.S. Operations.
That would make me stab you right in the heart.
Of course, music isn't only used against pirates or prisoners. The New Zealand city of Christchurch once employed similar tune tactics when faced with lawless and loitering teens. A business association manager told the Associated Press that they decided to use Barry Manilow's easy listening hits to, quote, change the environment to a positive way.
Again, Copacabana, that three times awesome. Through, I'd be ready to kill
and
you.
That's the
as
one.
Much as I love Cuba. Barry Manilow, not that song.
With the story that's on our Facebook page, by the way, it actually puts the YouTube video of these three segments, and it shows Copacabana is the one. But at least in this last case, the music award went both ways. We would just bring a stereo and play it louder and louder, and area teens would just leave the area.
Oh, that, I mean, it does make sense. Because I love music so much, I hate music so much. Like, yeah. For as much as I really, there's music that I see, and I tell people all the time, if I'm ever in a coma and you put Wilson Phillips on, if I don't sit up and turn that shit off, take every organ you need. Because I have given
we're
up.
Done.
I have given plug. Up. Yeah, you can have anything you want because I have given up.
Sure.
Oh, that's that really was like
to
my
shut
college
those three bitches.
That
up,
was like my college girl's friend anthem.
I couldn't hold on for one more minute of that song. I seriously,
let alone a day.
I wanted to starve that fat girl down to nothing. That song makes me violent. Oh, and then so they
sad.
Had more
poor
hits.
Poor Karn.
I know, and you've never seen her and Meatloaf in the same room.
Coincidence?
Oh, not a meatloaf, because she ate it, but the meatloaf.
Here's a picture of a meatloaf and Carney yeah. Wilson.
Those three start singing, and I want to be a terrorist.
Hate them.
Well, just today, in a ceremony at the Supreme Court today, retired
and
just...
And there goes Tyler. He probably just checked out, because he's like, I haven't threatened to stab somebody in the throat in a while.
That is actually really true.
Probably not. In a ceremony at the Supreme Court today, retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor became the second justice in history to officiate a same-sex wedding.
Mm.
The same-sex wedding conducted at the Supreme Court...
Arizona!
...united Jeffrey Trammell and Stuart Serkin. The retired O'Connor knows Trammell from her days at the College of William and Mary, where she was a chancellor and he was a rector. I don't really know what a rector is, but when I saw the word in the story...
It's something from the church.
I'm sorry, it is. The ceremony took place in the lawyer's lounge of the court, according to a court spokesman. That is just off the courtroom where the sitting justices delivered a pair of 5-4 decisions in June that stopped short of just legalizing gay marriage across the country, yet struck down a federal law barring benefits for spouses in same-sex marriages. O'Connor, the first woman to be appointed to the Supreme Court, was appointed by President, you just mentioned his name, Ronald Reagan in 81, and served until her retirement in 06. So O'Connor performing same-sex marriages at the Supreme Court.
Liberal judge.
Really cool.
From Arizona. First woman and only retired because her goddamn husband's sick.
Mm.
And I got to give it to her. I mean, he was sick for a while and then finally I think he has Alzheimer's, perhaps.
Oh, I don't know.
He's ill and she didn't retire because she was infirm or needed to leave, but she retired to take care of him. And oh my God, it's so sad.
One day, I forget where I was flying to. I actually think I was flying to
either... And a brilliant jurist, not just because she's liberal, but she really is she's a brilliant woman. I've heard her speak a couple different times.
I think I was flying for work either to San Diego or LA. I forgot which one. And I was sitting at the gate at the airport and I look up and all of a sudden she's sitting literally across from me. She flew on the same flight. I forget where, I want to say we're going to LA because I think she was speaking. It was very cool because I realized I didn't make a big thing about it to her, even though I was like, I am sitting across.
That's Sandra Day O'Connor.
I'm as far as from here to the end of this table from Sandra Day O'Connor. And she had a guy with her who was,
confused. Baffled.
I don't know if he was an escort or like, he's like almost said presidential escort. That's not what, like a bodyguard or
security.
Whatever, something. Yeah. And he would, you know, she would ask him questions.
Security.
But she was talking to little kids and all kinds of people would come and say hi. And I was like, how cool. I am sitting right across from Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
I'm sorry. Did I miss this? She's a children's author as well. Children's book author, which is cool. We have one of her, I don't know if she has more than one, but we have a book that she wrote. That's pretty cool. And we received it. Palmer received it as a gift when she was born from one of our political friends. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a cool book. And I was looking up, though, this is kind of related, but kind of unrelated. My friend...
the whole show is unrelated, Katie. It doesn't
Megan
matter.
Megan Mulvey Worthington, who lives in Illinois.
Oh, no. He had Parkinson's, and he died soon after she retired. I was not aware of that.
Who?
Sandra Day O'Connor's husband had Parkinson's, and he died. I thought he was still alive.
Mm. Can she have that chair back? Can we go to 10?
Come on.
Well, my friend Megan's aunt, the former Vermilion County Circuit Judge and current Illinois Supreme Court Justice, Rita Garman, was sworn in Monday as just the second female Chief Justice in the state's highest court. So in the highest court of Illinois. My friend's aunt was just sworn in as
exciting.
The second female ever to be sworn in as the Chief Justice.
For some reason, that just seems odd that it's the second female ever.
I think Chief Justice... Because she's the head of the court. So pretty cool.
That is cool.
Anyway,
I agree.
My friend's been talking about it online. And so it's congratulations. Well, Rita Garman.
I'm very sad that her husband died, and I didn't realize it. Maybe that's why she did a couple speaking engagements after she left. But I think
she travels the country speaking all over the place, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I don't follow her on Twitter or anything, but I think she, it seems like I always see her in the news here and there and all over the place yeah. doing things.
I've seen her twice.
Very, very good speaker. I did the women's series one year, which I loved. I love to talk about. And it was Mia Farrow. No, I did it 2 years. 1 year was Mary Tyler Moore and Ann Richards, who was the governor of Texas.
Who is so cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry I'm laughing. What I'm envisioning when he said he did the women's tour is, you know how on Family Guy, or excuse me, American Dad, Roger dresses up in drag and goes to different events as women? I envisioned you dressing in drag and going to conferences.
The best way, they're at Yamage. And I don't think that it highlights women of influence. And they closed, and they make all the men's rooms women's rooms. And the only bathroom in Gamage that you can use is the handicapped one on the first level as a man.
Yeah.
But wonderful speakers. And Mia Farrow's was
really,
really, really good. But Sandra Day O'Connor was there the 1 year. It was just fascinating.
But was it cool to hear from Ann Richards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think she's dead, too.
She is dead.
I think so. But isn't she? Was she so spunky?
She wasn't. She hated George Bush. But she was so much fun about hating him. Like, she really made you, like, smile.
Well, I wanted to see I know she's passed only because I've recently seen coverage of Christine Baranski, who was doing Ann Richards in the live stage play?
No, that's Holland Taylor.
Holland Taylor, my bad, you're right. And she looked, I mean, my God, she looked dead on.
Yeah.
Looked wonderful, doing a one-woman show about Ann Richards.
And, you know, Ann Richards' daughter, you know who she is? Cecil, I think it's Cecil or Cece or
okay.
Richards is the executive director of Planned Parenthood.
Yes, I didn't know that.
I think it's Cecil Richards, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And I've heard her speak, and she's wonderful.
And speaking of fucking Texas, the Texas Supreme Court told all those legislators in Texas
Booyah!
To suck it. That
Booyah!
All those laws, remember the woman that did the brilliant
Wendy
woman?
Davis.
That, Wendy Davis that did the
13-hour
filibuster. And remember, her filibuster had to stay on topic. She would have to sit down. She couldn't read Cat in the Hat and everything Ted Cruz did.
He's such a dick.
She had to stay on topic for the entire 13 hours, or they would shut her down if it was
And
not,
she did.
And she did. She stayed on topic. Well, that law that she was protesting, most of it just got struck down by the Texas Supreme Court.
Well, and I heard one of the bill's authors, or one of the main sponsors of the bill, and I don't remember her name. I could probably think of it if I racked my brain enough. But I heard her saying, I mean, I'm real happy with the turnout, and we're going to just keep taking this all the way up.
And Ted Cruz
and the biggest
like,
points of this didn't even get struck down. These weren't even the things I cared about. And I'm like, oh, go suck it.
Cunt.
Like, yeah. We're going to take it all the way up. And they said
and
that this was going to go, when the judge, when he ruled, he said this is going to go all the way up to maybe the Supreme Court. And I'm like, I literally hate you. I hate this woman.
Yeah.
Truba something.
Now we need one of the conservative judges to die so that we can get Obama to appoint one more.
Thank you. Because you know the next one out.
But you know George Bush is smart. You know that fucker. He's mildly picked retarded. But he made John Roberts, he picked a 50-year-old man and made him the Chief Justice. So he fucked us hard.
Yeah, but John Roberts, hasn't John Roberts been pretty...
He came to our side just for healthcare.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, he's a dick.
What about gay marriage? Prop 8.
No, Steve, that was Steven. That was Kennedy. Kennedy or Stevens.
We'll wait till somebody comes out in his family, and then he'll be like, oh, I have to change.
No, Kennedy sounds like he's going to be a liberal, but he's conservative. It's Stevens that switches sides.
Yeah, okay.
He's the swing vote. He's the only justice that matters. But you know what? Remember I said they can make it 10? There is no hard and fast rule about how many Supreme Court justices there can be.
They can't make it 10.
Because they have been up to 12 at some points. There is nothing that says it has to be
9. But it can't be even, though.
It's been every number possible if you Google it.
Really?
Yep. They just settled on 9 a while ago, and everybody just kind of ran with it.
9 seems good. I feel like you couldn't have an even one, because you have to have a swing vote
on
the Supreme Court. You can't, like, just have a tie, mistrial,
right, I
Hungary.
I think somebody thought of that. But there was, I think at one point there was 12, there's been 5, there's been all kinds of numbers. So
I think I'd like to be one.
You can have as many as you want.
I'm going to run for that.
And there you are, your civics lesson for the day.
Thank you very much. Well, let's go to Florida for a good story. They have great cell phone
Florida
coverage in Florida.
A
Florida gas station clerk's cell phone stopped a bullet fired by a robber early on Monday and saved the clerk from serious injury. Police from the Orlando suburb of Winter Garden told the Orlando Central that the stick-up began about 4:45 when the gunman asked for help looking for a drink or a beverage in the store, and then he pulled a revolver on the store clerk. The gunman wanted the two clerks to get into the safe at the Hess station. I don't know how fucking big their safe is in the Circle K or whatever the hell they're in, but I don't think two adult men can fit in it. But they were not able to open it.
With the right lubricant, you can fit anything in there.
Just the tip, Bob.
Yeah.
That's when the gunman ran away, but not before firing a single shot back at the clerks, striking one in the abdomen and the other one apparently in the cell phone. But like a badge or a book hidden in the pocket of a buddy cop hero, movie hero. That's
what?
Written horribly. Anyway, the HTC
Can
brand...
Can I keep my thing in the, your buddy?
Yes. The HTC brand phone stopped the bullet and saved the clerk from serious injury. The clerk, whose name has not been released, reportedly didn't even realize he'd been shot until he pulled the phone out of his pocket to make a call and realized that it had absorbed the bullet and shattered. Oh, there's no word as to whether he has phone coverage or warranty. photos of
I hope somebody gives him a new phone.
Photos of the phone are actually on our Facebook page. If you go there, I've copied the story.
It doesn't even really look that bad. I mean, no, it kind of looks like how my phone looks if I drop it on his face.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy that they stopped a bullet. I was kind of surprised at that.
Nuts.
It's kind of crazy.
And just like, I know, I was thinking about this today, too, that it was so perfectly placed. I mean, that is
right. Just random that he shot a random bullet
really
and hit him in the phone.
That is a lucky. Yeah. He shot me in the phone.
You hit me in the buddy.
just the tip, Bob.
In the butt, Bob. Laughing about that all
You don't even understand that yet, do you?
Have
you
seen the clip? No, I do. He told me, and yes. I don't.
But have you seen the clip?
Yeah.
Well, I'll get to show you the clip somewhere in that. All right, end of hour one. Hour two starting just moments from now. We are going to start the drinking game. We have a few more headlines. We're going to find out if Al has nomophobia, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't. Katie does. I can already tell you that. I kind of do, but I've got medication for it. It's the show. I'm with Katie and Al. It's Q-Talk America. We'll be back.
It's the show with Katie and Al. That is what it should be called.
We'll be back in moments from now. Stand by.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everyone. 8 o'clock. It's the beginning of hour two. This is the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk America. That is me, Clayton McKee, your humble host of this adventure we do every Tuesday night from 7 to 10. Thank you for joining us. I'm here alongside Katie June and Al Perkins in Studio C. We are here every Tuesday night, so thank you for joining us. Everybody listening online, all the ships at sea, and everybody who listens on the podcast at a later date and time, Kat Carlson comes to mind as somebody who drives and listens as she can.
And Hooli Gooli. But we have to say that Marnie is off marrying our friends Braun and...
I don't know which one it is.
Braun and Lover.
Yes, Marnie is out of studio in San Francisco. Yeah,
they were just heading to Napa a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
So Marnie...
I'm only slightly jealous.
Proving once again that religion really is just skin deep. You can get ordained as a minister online and then perform ceremonies around the country. And
honest to God, think I want Marnie to marry me at some point.
Wow!
Marnie, this is it. This is it.
Let's try it in the sand first.
I don't think that... Really? I don't think that's a goal you want.
I don't think so?
She's, okay, first of all, let's go with... We're older than you. I think you should bury all of us before we go to you.
But if I...
And bury is not something I'm going to do.
When it gets... No, marry.
Oh, marry.
I thought you said bury too.
No. When I just heard you say bury, then I thought of Barry Gibb. Nope, we're not talking about that. Marry.
What are you...
So someday,
Mary. Totally different.
Yeah, but if it happens, then shit,
but
she can marry me too.
We're having the same problems with your accent today because
I guess so.
That's the second thing we thought you said something.
Yes. I'm on the tail end of a cold.
Loathe and bury are the two things we've heard.
That was this a really weird accent I used to talk with my friend, and that's stupid. But the berry, that's maybe a cold.
Okay.
I'm on the tail end.
We're going to forgive you for that. But we enjoy it because it was funny for the 35 seconds we talked about it.
Yeah, I was like a little worried.
Is it a
cry for help or is it that's what it was, cry for help or Facebook post,
right. Well, as we do at the beginning of each and every second hour, we start it with a little drinking game and it goes something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, thank God I wrote it down because I already forgot it, but I think our drinking word has to be hot dog! And I'll have to listen back to remember why.
Hey, what? Hot dog. Hey, hot dog.
Okay, so the drinking word is hot dog.
Or you could do it Melanie Griffith style, as Rosie O'Donnell used to talk about, that she doesn't use it as an adjective. She breaks up the noun. Hot fucking dog.
Oh. I gotcha.
I'd like to buy that vowel. Hot fucking dog.
So hot dog is our drinking word. So anytime you hear us make reference to, now is wiener also in this, or are we just literally using the pure?
I will accept wiener.
Yes, Bob.
Judge's rule?
Yes.
In the butt. Wiener. Katie is on board with
that. I love it. I've literally laughed about it so many times this week. I was like, just thinking in my head, I'm like, in the butt, Bob.
That's
butt,
so
Bob.
Funny.
And you have to, you gotta say it in a shy way. In the butt.
In the butt, Bob.
It was in the butt.
Not physically. Geologically. Where in the house?
What did Bob do? I need to rewatch that clip. Yeah, I know I had seen it before.
After the show,
but
we'll take you to my office in here.
We'll take you to my office and put it in the butt. Yeah.
Well, the question is, and this has been all over the media today, do you suffer from nomophobia? And that doesn't mean nomo something.
It's nomophobia.
Nomo homo.
Do you know what nomophobia is? Have you heard of this today?
I have not.
You've not.
Spell nomo for me.
N-O-M-O. Oh, okay. Phobia. Nomophobia. Okay. Now, I don't know who the fuck names these things. I have no idea.
Well, they're usually from the Latin, nomo.
Okay. Well, nomophobia is actually a fear of being disconnected from your cell phone.
Oh.
So that is not from the Latin.
Well, probably not. It's from the cellulus transistorus. I don't know. I'm making up shit.
Sounded right. Very European.
For some people, scarier than a horror movie or Halloween, they'd rather give up coffee, alcohol.
Oh, no mobile phone phobia.
It just gets called nomophobia. It's what it's been all
right,
day.
Right, but that's what it stands for. Okay. Yeah. So it's not from the Latin, arachnophobia. Right.
So people,
I had to Google that immediately. I was
people
worried.
Would rather give up coffee, alcohol, or even their significant other than give up their cell phone. A study, oddly, You wouldn't give a shit about this. If you never saw your phone again, you really, unless it was an iPod.
The only way they really I'm attached to it is because my security system is hooked up to it, and I just want to know when I'm being robbed.
A study by Virgin Mobile and Wakefield Research found that it's pretty difficult to put down all of our phones. Fox 10 here in Phoenix actually hit the streets to see if people in the Valley suffer from this nomophobia. And Amber Smith said that she cannot survive without her cell phone. She said, quote, "It's glued to my hand right now, like when you walked in," she said. She's a busy businesswoman and needs to be in touch at all hours of the day and night.
She said busy businesswoman. She sounds like she's from, what's that movie called with the two girls?
A
high school reunion.
Oh my God, Vera Sorvino and
Phoebe Cates.
Romy and Michelle's.
Yeah, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Yes.
Not Phoebe Cates.
They're businesswomen.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like the businesswomen special, please.
Some fear that missing a call is a fear of not being in contact with other people. It's a fear if someone calls, what if someone needs me? What if someone needs me? Well, sadly, for some of us, that's
no
the case.
One needs you.
No, but actually for the. No, I realize
well,
that
no,
in
I mean,
the sheltered world that you live
no,
in.
No, but your job needs you. That's
right.
Yeah.
But and for you, I mean, you can't really be. What if something happens to Palmer or Kelly?
Yeah. I would need my phone, but I will tell you this. If someone, like coffee or alcohol, and I mean, Kelly's important too, but if someone was like, if someone said
you're
coffee
third.
Or your phone, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. I'm
go
taking my
coffee
every time.
Hot dog.
Coffee and alcohol, I would choose to give my phone up for life.
Exactly.
And just never look
Let's
at it again.
Let's review the choices again, and you can take the phone while you ask them.
Yes.
Apparently, 73% of people surveyed have this phobia of not of missing a call or missing a connection.
But I want to tell you that both my parents were on call, and cell phones were not invented. It can work.
But to that point, and you, I don't know you with this issue, but back then it was, your mom didn't leave the house. Like, during certain hours,
when you knew
you couldn't leave
the house. When I'm on call, I just don't. Like, I'll go, every once in a while, I'll go to a movie and I'll tell them at the movie theater, I'm on call, and I show them my badge, and I'm like, I'm on call, I might have to leave. You know, at what point do I not get a refund? And they're like, an hour.
Oh, okay.
And I tell them, like, I'm on call.
So right, I'm so like, you might get a text
I might
or you
might
get a call.
Can I get a credit for another movie or do I just have to take my chances?
I never would have thought of that. That's interesting.
Some movie theaters.
That's a movie lover for you.
Some movie theaters will say, like, you're on your own. And I'm like, okay.
But cool, just good to know.
But I always laugh about that. People are like, people might need me. Well, then you've got to make different choices. Like,
right.
The world spun for a really long time.
And I don't begrudge that at all and say that's wrong. But what I keep, and again, this is my own thing, and we're going to talk, I want to talk about some dreams in a few minutes later on in the show. I always seem to get myself into these situations where every goddamn job I'm connected to is a 24/7 job. Television, radio,
better life choices.
Television, radio is the same way, and Edge Studios is the same way, except for those hours between 3 and 6 a.m.
But with Edge, too, like, not only do you have to do normal daytimey work, but then you're on call for the nighttime, because if something goes wrong, it's all nightlife based.
Right.
And so if something goes wrong, you have to fix it right now.
And I deal with so many people who are technologically challenged that don't know a router from an internet switch.
You know, I don't actually know those things.
But you're not in the business.
Right.
The
Cox guy hates me when I call him. I'm like, what am I supposed to be looking at?
Well, that's what I really like. I got a call yesterday, or a text rather, because they know, like you were talking earlier, text me, don't call me, because I don't want to talk to you. I want to shortline this answer you in 3 or 42 characters or less. But the issue was not us. It was their internet service provider. And they think that just because our entire system is internet-based, we're the problem.
You have to fix
it. You need to call whoever your internet service provider, and I would like to throw them all under the bus because I hate one in particular. But anyway, they're just...
It's not Cox, is it?
No, I love Cox.
Okay, good, because I have Cox.
I love
Cox. Don't switch to CenturyLink, right?
Katie said it. Hot dog!
Yeah. And if you're one of those stupid fucking people that switches to CenturyLink,
then you deserve to lick it.
Licking shit. Yeah. Hot dog, you deserve what you get.
Yeah, that just drives me nuts. Well, and they don't understand. One of the services that are piece of technology that synchronizes our system relies on internet. So if the internet goes down, a window comes up and says something has stopped working with Edge Studios, but they don't realize, and I understand that, but they freak out when they're like, well, the system doesn't work. Well, how come it's not your problem? Because your internet's down.
Right. There's literally nothing we can do.
I look on an app that I have, and I'm like, okay, you've been down for 7 hours. How have you not had to run a credit card in 7 hours? Maybe you better make better advertising choices.
I may not be better. Can I ask a question, though?
You can ask anything you want.
Where are we in the show?
We are eight.
Was that this from a headline?
Yes.
This is about nomophobia.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm like... How did we drive here?
Nomophobia.
I mean, I like the cornfield. Have another Janet June.
That is a Janet June moment. Have another, Mom.
Now, I'm going to finish up this. There's a couple more stories, but I want to wrap this up, that story, with a couple of things. According to this, that when it comes to sex, according to the survey, 1 in 5 women say that they would give up sex for a month rather than giving up their cell phones.
Absolutely not. You're not doing sex right.
Quote, I would take my cell phone. I hate to say this on TV, but you can get sex anytime. It's hard to replace your contacts, Smith said. This woman who was interviewed by Fox 10. However, men were not as willing. The majority would rather have sex than have a cell phone.
Thank God.
That is so funny.
Be worried about the male population.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny. Women, I cannot have sex for a month, but I need my phone. Men are like, fuck the phone.
I mean, let's be honest, women. Unless you have a wart down there that's visible, like under dim light, you're going to have sex whenever you want to.
Yeah.
Men got to work a little bit harder.
Anytime. You want, you just go. Yep,
all women
got
to do is get a half shirt that says slutty on it and go to a bar. And
I am. Very attached to my cell phone.
I'm not saying
you're
going to have good sex or with a quality man.
But it can happen.
I'm just saying it's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I am super attached, overly attached. And my problem is that I have, my attention span has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter.
Just since you've been with this cast of this show.
So while I'm watching television and I'm doing work on the internet and I need to be on my phone doing
and watching your daughter.
And Palmer is like not watching TV in the corner. It's really bad. And it is... That's the thing that I hate, that I am, my attention span is shot to hell because of the stupid cell phone.
Attention span deficit theater.
Jesus.
Yes. Do you remember that show?
No, but I have that.
Yeah.
That is something I have.
That's exactly
but I would never give up real life things. And as a matter of fact, I think it would be really...
Would you give it up for your phone?
I think it would be really fucking awesome if I could get rid of my phone. Legitimately. Like, if it was a safe... And it is. I could do it, but I need.
If you go back to a pager.
I don't have a landline. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
If I had a landline, but I could do everything over my my internet and I can, you know, but I think it would be really, I think it'd be really cool to not be connected to people.
Maybe, maybe not.
But
maybe.
I use the maps on this bitch all the time.
And they just did a big update for the people that drank all the Kool-Aid like me.
Yeah.
So now everything's connected. So what I can do is I can sit at home on my real computer and decide where I want to go and look at a global satellite of like who's got their street lights on. That fucking scary. I don't know. Google Maps and iBooks just came to the computer. I can pick my address. And then I can send it to the Wilma Flintstone of iPhones, and it will talk me. I'll just turn it on, and I plug it into the Ford, and it will talk
to me. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's genius.
I already have navigation on my car, so I really don't need this feature, but I thought it was hysterical that because I had to go to the Fear Farm, and I didn't know where it was. So it updated that day, so I was like, ooh, I'll do it here and find out. It was one turn. I mean, it really wasn't that.
Right.
But my worry
McDowell.
Is...
McDowell... Go west.
I get lost. I get lost at strip malls. I need Google Maps to get me through a strip mall because that strip mall at 99th Avenue and McDowell is just stupid. It's a city. Why do you need that many restaurants in one mall? Yeah. And you got a Costco, and you got a movie theater, and you got stuff. So the funny thing was, is I did it. Because I loved the, and it's literally the globe. It's like being in gravity. You're like Sandra Bullock floating in space. You hit Google Maps, and then you take it to Earth, and you see the Earth's rotation, and you can see where the sun has set. And you can see all the streets, all the lights.
I haven't got to that point
You can
yet.
See the Earth lit
I don't
up.
Go anywhere.
So you can see where people, like where the lights are on. And you can, it's a satellite image of the Earth. And you can see where the sun is still shining.
But is it a live image?
Yeah.
Or is it,
yes,
or is
a,
it just...
No, it's to the
second. Based on our data, we know that this is where the sun should be.
Who gives a shit? It's pretty. But the best part is, but you can spin the globe. It's like standing in front of a globe. You can spin the globe. So you can look
at
the...
I'm
going to go here. I'm going to go here.
That's
so I
cool.
picked... So it did it, and then I hit send, and it sends to all my devices, and the whole house goes because everything just went off.
Right, man.
Then in my car, I just plugged it into the Ford, and I hit USB port, and it was like, start driving now. And I'm like, fuck you! This is fantastic.
I don't even really... I use my calendar. I do use that. I use my camera.
Oh, and that got better, too. The
I
camera
use my
got better, too.
Major use my camera. I use my Shazam a lot and my maps, but like those are things that like Shazam, really, do I have to know what song
Shazam?
This is?
Oh, okay.
When the song is playing
and
I...
Of course you do.
Right? I use my email, which I would actually be... And my Facebook all the time. I'd be pleased to be disconnected from email when I was away.
Sadly, I can't.
And I won't use Facebook on my phone because I hate it.
And I use my security app. There are a lot of things that I could get rid of. Maybe I should.
And I told you, when they updated
this... Have you done
this,
the update this
because
week?
I thought it was out of
no.
room.
You need to get your
I was ready to spend $800 or $799 on a new phone because that's what it costs. I didn't understand all the rules. So I just went and I'm like, I heard you're getting rid of the iPhone 5 because you did this rollout and the guy that's not dead, he's alive and he runs Apple, just gave a speech and so there's phones around. I didn't drink all the Kool-Aid.
Should
I drink most
more.
Of it.
Should read more.
Yeah. I don't care. So I lose interest. So I was like, oh, you're going to discontinue the iPhone 5, so let me have one. And they're like, it's $600 and $799. I'm like, why? They're like, well, because your plan isn't expired. I'm like, well, this is a piece of shit. Because I couldn't update to the new...
Yeah.
I couldn't do all that shit because I didn't have enough memory. Well, then, because the Kool-Aid people came
and
in and told me, you have no choice.
Jim Jones and crew.
You have to... Exactly. I was in Guyana, and I'm standing there in front of a plane that's dying. And so they erased my whole phone. Well, the dumb fuckers cheated themselves out of money because they erased everything off my phone and made me update to the new system. Well, I don't need a new phone anymore because I don't know what
apps. It's genius.
I don't know what apps they got rid of because I don't use any of them.
See, that's good.
I use my...
I need to delete some
and
apps.
And I've talked about this so many times. I use my security system and the app, so now I don't need a new phone.
I need to be with you more when these updates happen because you don't have to erase all that shit.
No, I'm had to. You had to buy into this.
I'm sure.
Your mom will too. But
I've already updated her.
Right. But I didn't have enough memory to do it.
I don't have any memory.
I know how to get stuff off your phone, update, and bring your stuff back.
Yep,
I know how to do that.
I need
it turns
you.
Out I didn't want it.
Well, but you
if I don't know what it was, then why do I need it?
Right,
no,
there's that.
Yeah.
If 3 weeks later I still have not figured out what I'm missing, I wasn't using it.
Probably not. Got that. But all my shit, I mean, I'm backed up to this thing and that thing in a cloud, and I can bring anything back from the dead. And speaking of the dead, the family of Jerry Moon wants to know how the wrong body ended up in his casket, in his clothes, at his funeral. Family members were horrified Monday when they looked in the casket and saw the body of another man.
Oh, no.
Dressed in their father's clothing with a picture of the father and his widow next to the pillow in the casket. They've hired a lawyer and asked the State Department of Licensing to investigate. Mr. Moon, who was 72, a retired railroad conductor from Castle Rock, died October 13th at...
Really? Castle Rock?
According to this, Castle Rock, yes. He died October 13th at Community Home Health and Hospice in Longview. Dale McVicker Funeral Home, Dale McVicker Funeral Home, Kelso, picked up the body the same day. Brown Mortuary, Chalet, transported the body from Kelso the next day.
Quick question. What state?
I don't, Jesus, what happened to this? Washington.
Where is
Chehalis, Washington is where this story's from.
Where is Molly Montgomery when I need her?
Yeah. Anywho, Where'd it go? Two different men, according to the story, died the same day, were transported out of the same hospice to the same funeral home, and that's where the confusion started.
This is worse than a baby mix-up.
Yeah.
Because you can learn to love the baby, but you got to bury that fucker.
So, well, here's what really happened that's really bad. So they go through the entire memorial service. At the end of the service, they open the casket to say their final goodbyes, only to realize that that was not their father.
Uh-oh.
Upon further investigation, the man who was supposed to be in the casket was cremated, something that he had feared worse than death itself was cremation.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So
No need to question it now.
Yeah. So they didn't know who the guy was that was in, and there was no name given of the gentleman who was actually dressed in his father's clothes in the casket. The family has the ashes now, and if they are confirmed to be Jerry Moon's...
They are holding on to a bucket of their father's worst fears.
Yes.
They
will be buried at the Chehalis Cemetery, where a graveside memorial... was canceled previously when they found about the mix-up. Meanwhile, the man who has been scheduled to be cremated now was dressed in Moon's clothes and placed in his casket at the funeral home, but that's now going to be changed, and he'll be cremated too. The poor guy was dressed in my father's clothes in front of hundreds of people, his son said. The person in the casket was cremated, and his family now has the ashes of Mr. Moon again. Brown Mortuary was not responsible for the mistake. It was actually the... they say that they're not responsible, but apparently there was a mix-up in transportation. It's crazy.
Lord almighty.
Crazy with that one. Okay, here's something...
I know I shouldn't find that funny, but I find it delightful.
I want to be cremated, P.S.S.S.
I do, too. I have
donate everything I can donate.
Absolutely.
Cremate me. Yeah. Don't actually bury me.
Okay, good. So we got clarification on that.
You heard it here first.
I don't like wasting land space for that. I think eventually somebody's going to need the space.
Yeah, so I don't want to.
I'm just afraid somebody's going to do it in Niagara Falls. I'm going to spend eternity in the cold, hard fucking ground in Niagara Falls.
Oh, that's horrible.
No.
Yep. I want to be spread in cool places.
I want to be warm and dry. Mm-hmm. Fire.
Now, I don't know if you all have heard of this, and Al, I figured you might have heard of this. Buying a friend a cup of coffee is now as easy as sending a tweet.
Ooh.
And sharing a slate of...
Who wants to tweet me?
Well, anybody can, as long as you and that friend have both got a Starbucks.com account.
Hot dog.
The mega coffee chain Starbucks rolled out a beta version of its new Tweet a Coffee program on Monday with some fanfare. Not everybody's excited about this. The conceit is simple. Send a message at Tweet a Coffee to buy a gift card for a friend, and then you actually send them the information. It's a big deal, but the issues that are now kicking back are all of the information that you don't have to share of yourself, and Starbucks now owns all of this information.
Yeah.
Now, when I read about this, yeah, you can send somebody a Starbucks gift card, blah, 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 for whatever amount. It's just as easy. Like, I use PayPal to transfer money for free to people all the time. It's the same thing. You're transferring money. Yeah, they're not getting the Starbucks gift card, and I'm using air quotes for those who aren't seeing me. But you can send money to people. You don't have to go through something like that that's going to take all of your information.
It's called a U.S. mail and a check.
You can do it that way, too.
Here's $5 fucking dollars.
But as everything is going that way, you know, you can just hit a thing on your phone, send money to somebody. And we've all seen the Chase commercials where the babysitter comes by, and she's getting paid and she gets an app from her phone. It transfers money and all that.
As Matt and I do these vacations together, that's what we're doing is we just keep...
Really?
We just keep transferring because we both bank with Chase.
Right.
I probably shouldn't say that. But, oh, well, too late.
I could actually edit that out.
But we really do... send each other the deposits for like different stuff or send it back like for vacation next summer.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Yeah, we just send the money back and forth and it's easy. Like, I don't know how easy it would be if you don't have Chase, and if you don't, I don't know why you don't, because there's only like 3 banks in the world now and Skank of America doesn't qualify.
Desert Schools Federal Credit Union. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, there's credit unions too.
There's
They exist.
But it really is, it's so easy. And
banking on my phone, though, freaks me out just a smidge. Even like
that's
having,
one of the few things I will do with this phone is I love taking the picture of the check. I want everyone to send me a check.
No, thank you.
Just so I can take the picture.
No,
of the check.
Because it's just like, who's stealing that? People are. Doing
I don't even
it.
Care.
People are stealing it.
What are you going to get out of me besides experience?
and a couple TVs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, three to be exact.
take the car.
Yeah, there's that.
Please, people.
Well, that's enough for headlines.
Steal that thing.
That's enough for headlines for us tonight. The drinking game is rolling along, and the word is, or the phrase is,
hot dog.
And now we go to Al Perkins and entertainment. Woo!
I gotta get to that screen. Entertainment! All right, let's go from the top. So, the new Gotham Award nominees are announced, which are kind of like the Spirit Awards, but they're from the East Coast. New Star Wars goes into rewrites, thank God. Jamie Dornan from The Fall is going to play the new guy from Grey's Anatomy. I don't know what that's called. Hollywood Film Award winners are up. Dexter available on Netflix. Wolf of Wall Street. There's all kinds of There's just so much. I can't even feel
it.
I had so much more. But the music faded. The music stopped. I wasn't done. It's like a bad game of Duck, Duck, Goose. Or what's that show called? What's the musical chairs?
Is that a game show?
That gives me anxiety when I play it.
Really?
I'm back to playing Duck, Duck, or musical chairs with Palmer. We did it at the Kip Cupcake,
it's
Cupcake Walk.
How does that give you anxiety?
Because I just want to win.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a competitor. Christina, I will always beat you.
Yeah. I got to tell you that when it comes to musical chairs, I want to win too.
Yeah.
That's a chance to tackle people legally.
Anxiety.
Do you have a fear of being mommy dearest at any point?
God, I hope not.
Have you seen the movie?
I haven't.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got to show you that scene too.
All right.
Christina, I will always beat you. Go ahead.
Because I'm bigger than you and I'm stronger than you. Life is not fair.
That is not fair, Christina.
All right. So, we got to go to a different page. We're going to make this work. Joys of the internet. So, we're going to start with the Hollywood Film Awards because it's the first things I saw. Now, the Hollywood Film Awards are just kind of a little opening salvo. Nothing real is going on here, but it gets the names out there. If you've seen, and I know you haven't, so I don't know how I'm going to say it, but if you've seen For Your Consideration from the people that brought you Best in Show.
Yes.
Oh, you've seen For Your Consideration?
Yes.
Where
I
it's
love
just the whisper
all
of an
those.
Oscar hint. Yeah.
Yeah, I
just
love
the whisper
it.
Of an Oscar
I love
hint.
The love his movies.
So it's the first awards show of the 2013 film season. Took place Monday night at the Beverly Hilton in Los Angeles, which I've been to.
Mm.
And everything.
Me too.
Yeah, it's where the Golden Globes take place.
It is?
And it's where the Mike Douglas Telethon or muscular dystrophy. I'm not sure what the MD stands for.
Muscular dystrophy. That's always in Vegas.
Yeah.
They're already told in advance who's going to win or who's going to come in second place. So,
oh, so
you
they
show
already
up.
Know.
They already know.
So do you even go if you're not going to win or get second place?
No, why would you go?
Okay. Yeah, just checking. In case you want to have a little red carpet moment.
Exactly.
The Hollywood Breakout Director Award was given to 12 Years a Slave helmer Steve McQueen.
Why? I apparently took a couple movies. I've seen the previews. I literally cannot wait to see that.
It has not opened here yet, but we're waiting. And then there's something about Kim Kardashian, which I don't understand how she... Who was her publicist? Because whoever that is working overtime. The Hollywood Actor Award went to Matthew McConaughey. Buy one Matthew McConaughey, get one free. He's in every fucking movie.
He is.
Dallas Buyers Club
is
coming out.
Which I also can't wait.
Yeah. And this is a year that they're going to have to divide up these movies. And last year they did it. They split everything evenly between all the movies. And I think we have another year coming. Because I think everyone agrees after the last couple years that Matthew McConaughey needs something. So his other hope...
A break?
No.
Has he not gotten any... He's never won an award.
I want to say he's got a nomination, but I don't think so.
Wow.
And I'd have to go to a different page.
I'm going
to
Google right now.
So his supporting actor nod could come from Mud. And if he gets nominated for Mud with the 2 years that he's been having, he has a good chance of winning. So if he shows up for Mud, which was the charming movie about the boys that build the boys that find the island in the Mississippi River. Delightful, great movie. I think if Mud gets a nomination, he gets the win because they owe him. I guess Babyface won a song.
I'm sorry, Babyface, like the singer?
Yeah, Babyface won an award because
is he still
Catching
like,
Fire
alive,
has a,
relevant?
Yeah,
anything?
But Catching Fire, The Hunger Games, has a song.
Whoa. It probably has a couple songs, but this one just happened to win.
So I guess the Ensemble Award went to August Osage County, which is the movie with Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts and Margot Martindale. I really hope they bring this article down to, like, of course they won. The Breakout Performance Award went to Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. He really sings with a band, and I can't remember the name of the band, but Jared Leto's been out of movies for a long time, but he came back for this one. And he's 41 years old, and he got the Breakout Award, but he's playing a transsexual in Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then newcomer Scene Stealer went to 12 Years a Slave. Lupita Nyong'o. Everyone is talking about the fact that she will get some kind of recognition. This role in 12 Years a Slave. She probably is not going to beat Oprah for Best Supporting Actress.
Because that's what I'm saying. They're very similar movies, same premise.
Oh, no, not at all. 12 Years a Slave is very violent and very uncomfortable.
Well, it's about slavery.
Clearly horrible. And then the movie.
Oh, he's just not really a slave.
A butler.
Yep, got it. Thanks.
The butler, not
black
the
people,
slaver.
Black what's, people.
What shows are you watching?
Old-timey. I got him confused.
So Sandra Bullock won.
Broad brush.
Unintentionally.
Black, broad, fresh black people is what you got.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot dog.
Yeah, that was kind of uncomfortable for all of us.
Yeah, I was too.
Hot dog racism. So Sandra Bullock won the Actress Prize for Gravity, which everyone is pretty much convinced that Kate Blanchett is going to win for
the Oscar.
Blue
you mean?
Jasmine is going to win the Oscar for Blue Jasmine.
I just don't know if Sandra
her only real competition. Well, the fact is, and I always point this out to people: true lead actress roles are so rare and so completely uncommon that there are two this year already that are just. Sandra Bullock is the only person really in that movie. There are voices,
yes,
and then there's
right.
a small supporting role from another actor. But that is 90 minutes of Sandra Bullock's face. Like,
yeah.
You cannot get more best actress-y than 90 minutes
than
of your face
you.
Alone.
Yeah. And, carrying a big blockbuster.
Yeah, and Blue Jazz, and that's exactly it. It just hit like $350 million worldwide.
Wow.
And they haven't opened in Japan and England.
And like, you know those Japanese are going to eat it up.
Or maybe it's China.
Either way.
I think it's China because...
Unintentional racism.
One of the space stations
when I'm
is
in China.
Chinese. Yeah. Chang.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Hot dog. Lee Daniels got the director award for The Butler. And I think that's it. Oh, and Jake Gyllenhaal, in a surprise move, and I really think this movie might come out somewhere, supporting actor award for Jake Gyllenhaal for The Prisoners. Because, like I said, Jake Gyllenhaal has that habit of making really great movies like Donnie Darko that absolutely no one has seen.
But cult classics.
And Zodiac, which are fantastically well-made movies, very entertaining. You can watch them again and again, but no one sees them but me. So,
okay. Side note, Matthew McConaughey won some awards, but things like the National Society of Film Critics Awards.
That's a good one.
The New York Film Critics Circle Awards.
That's a good one.
San Diego Film Critics.
Not a good one.
Society. MTV Movie Award.
Not a good one at all.
So he's won Independent Spirit. So he's won a couple. He has won some things, but never a major.
Not a major.
No.
Yeah. But in usually a New York Film Critics Circle or an LA Film Critics Circle leads... to the Oscars. Now, the Gotham Awards are kind of like the Spirit Awards. They're the independent film awards. They're out of New York. They usually follow a film festival. Robert Redford won for All Is Lost, about him on the ship. Very exciting. Matthew McConaughey
for
Dallas.
Is another best actor, right? That's like
right.
a best actor.
And I think that Robert Redford, if that movie makes $10 more, is an automatic, because he's never won for best actor.
Oh, and it's Robert Redford.
It's Robert Redford, so I think he gets in there. But so the Gotham ones were Robert Redford, All Is Lost, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club, Kate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, Scarlett Johansson for Don John. And these are mostly about the fact that these are little-known movies that they're just trying to get... the Independent Spirit Awards are just trying to get the word out there. They just want people to know that these are quality movies and go see them. So Inside Llewellyn Davis is the new from the Coen brothers who brought us Fargo and tons of great movies. I can't think of all of them, but they're in there. So... Inside Llewellyn Davis is the one to watch for coming up. This is the movie that's going to sneak up that you're going to be like, I never heard of this movie. I'm telling you now, Inside Llewellyn Davis is almost a lock for a lot of nominations. So keep your eye on that one. Oh my God, we have something important to talk about.
All of this isn't?
No, not at all. I'm just trying to think if there's anything exciting in here. Okay, Brie Larson, who Harrison will remember this when we saw the happening, the Spectacular Now. An actress came on screen, and I'm like, I love her. I never remember her name. I never remember what I've seen her in. Brie Larson. It's called Short Term 12. See this movie. See her. Find her. She is the next big thing coming. She's from
Brie Larson.
The United States of Tara. She was the crazy daughter on the United States of Tara.
Oh, yeah, which was such a good
show. And she has been doing all this quality work in little movies. She's always third or fourth billed. She's in
Drinking Buddies.
Everything.
She was in a movie called Drinking Buddies, yep, which I remember the preview was intriguing to me.
And
but...
Short Term 12 has got her on the short list for Best Actress. And they say that for the independent spot on the Best Actress list, it'll either be Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Enough Said or her. And her stock is going up. So look for Brie Larson may make an appearance.
So I actually saw over the weekend Enough Said. And I loved it.
Isn't it so good?
And it was just so, like, it was literally, like, so super authentic. And it was, like, just these incredible people's lives. There was nothing, there was no big flashy bang. There was no crazy, I'm stuck in space for a year. It was, like, there was nothing crazy about it. It was just their lives. And James Gandolfini and Julia Louis-Dreyfus had such amazing chemistry. I loved watching them, except for the points when I didn't love, because I was uncomfortable. And it was, there was just a couple of parts in it when there's tension and I was like, oh.
And some scary bad parenting. That's the other thing.
But it was so real, though, that I was like uncomfortable watching this movie.
And you wanted to be friends with all of them.
Because
even the fucked up characters, you're like, I would be friends
because
with
them. Because I was so drawn in without even realizing it that I was so drawn into their lives. When there happens to be a scene when Julia Louis-Dreyfus's daughter is packing up to go away to college. Okay, my daughter is just two. And I was sobbing. I was literally sobbing into my sweater. Like,
a glimpse into the future.
I need more Kleenex. Like, oh,
anytime,
I was
and anytime
sobbing.
Someone says goodbye to a mother, I'm sobbing.
God.
So I cried through that same scene. From the other side of, like, I remember going away to college and, like, having to say goodbye to my mom and, like, moving to a different city.
Well, I remember going away to college and my mom was crying and I was just like, later. Like, I was, like, ready to have fun and be cool. I'm like, just go. Bye. And how sad my mom was, like, happy for me. And she's like, oh, we miss you already. But I was like, oh, you're so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's going to be me and Palmer. And she's going to be like, just leave, mom.
Get out
and
of here.
And I was, Kelly's like, oh, my God, are you okay?
Yeah,
this isn't happening for a while. She put her arm around me. Kelly was so sweet. But
and I think her name is Nicole Halfsetter is the director of that movie. She's done some great work. She's a great director.
We both really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. Now, you may remember I watched a terrible movie called Deadfall a couple weeks ago, months ago. Yeah. And the guy that was on it, I'm like, I don't know, this movie is terrible, but this guy is fucking hot. And it turns out he was the guy from Sons of Anarchy, Charlie someone or other, who they cast as Christian Grey in Grey's Anatomy, but I don't know what that movie's really called. 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey.
Grey's Anatomy.
Totally different. Totally.
But it's actually,
they're both
but
lady
not totally,
porn.
Yeah.
They're both lady porn. So I thought, well, that's a good choice because the only thing I took out of that horrible movie, Deadfall, was like, God, that guy is hot. So then I'm watching a movie called, and they're both called God Fallen, and I just realized as I said it out loud. So then there's that thing I've been trying to get everybody to watch on Netflix called The Fall. It's the British, it's the BBC, America. Oh, it's so good.
I mean, not like I'm not doing it intentionally. I just am not yet.
It's so good. Crime drama, crime procedural.
All right, what's it called? Because I was going to ask you what I need to watch.
Gillian Anderson is in it, but the guy that plays the killer in the movie that they're after is so fucking hot. And by the end, and it's only six episodes. I think it's like five, maybe it might only be five episodes. But at the end of it, I'm like, what is wrong with me that I'm so attracted to the serial killer in this movie? His name's Jamie Dornan, and he took over for the Charlie guy that was supposed to
play. Yeah, he's going
to
be a hottie.
Yeah, so, and the whole time, turns out he's an underwear model. He's all these different things. He is fucking beautiful. But I'm like, oh no. Very exciting news. Netflix and Dexter made friends again, or CBS, Showtime. I think it's Viacom, who owns both those companies, has made friends with Netflix again, and starting October 31st, Dexter, the first four seasons are available October 31st, and I think January 1st, the back four are available. So if I know you in March of 2014, and for some reason you have not seen Dexter, please delete me from any place that you go.
We're done.
Because
we're through.
Right. You can't have any more options to see Dexter, which is my second favorite show of all time now. The Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio, who they owe an Oscar. They finally decided on a release date. It opens December 25th. So there's two or three movies that got bumped out of the Oscar race and are moved into the new year, including the new Jack Ryan movie, The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games. All those movies, they have a new one. They're starting the new franchise with some little hottie. I can't remember who the hottie is that's playing Jack Ryan now, but it got booted to next year to make room for The Wolf of Wall Street to keep it in the Oscar race, because Leonardo DiCaprio, he's not going to win an Oscar this year. We've heard that ship has already sailed. There's too many people ahead of him with better movies. Even if this is great, it's not his year. And if he does win, it's because he deserves it. No brainer. Walking Dead was renewed in a surprise to absolutely no one. It's the highest rated cable show of all time.
Is it really?
And it's beat most sports programs now as the highest rated. There are actual sporting competitions that have not topped The Walking Dead.
Wow.
There is nothing in the history of cable that has gotten more viewers.
That's crazy.
And it would still be the number one show for like 3 weeks in a row this season of network TV too. Like, even if you're Marnie and won't charge your mom more rent and afford cable, you can, like, you're still not getting the audience that The Walking Dead is, because there's all these, and it's amazing. They're at like 20 million. There haven't been numbers like this since Friends. Like, it's been a decade since any show pulled in 18 to 45 viewers like The Walking Dead is. Like, AMC is like, yeah, we renewed it. Fuck. Did somebody think we weren't? And then the headline said, yeah, we got it.
It's just fun.
So I guess we'll go to next to last thing. So Dracula came on last week with Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
What do you think about that?
Hot, hot, hottie. Was what was my review. And I'm watching Hannibal because it's out in, and that's another one. If by this March of next year you have not watched all 13 episodes of Hannibal, I really don't understand what's working in your brain. It is, I'm watching, because
this is actually good, because I need a new show. Like, I've fallen off of, I'm like caught up on all of my regular shows.
Yeah.
So I need something in my downtime.
It's time. So I got the first disc from Netflix and I watched it. I did the tail of the snout viewing.
It doesn't do, you can't do, you know, watch immediately or like stream instantly.
I think you have to go to Hulu Plus or something.
I buy that shit on Amazon.
Or maybe.
Amazon has everything because you can buy it.
Oh, you can buy it. Yeah, buy it. Yeah, it's not, nobody's doing it for free as part of your membership that I have found yet.
Right.
I have to tell you, I have been watching, I saw the first disc and I did the tail to snout viewing and I'm like, I'm just going to buy the Blu-ray because it's exquisite. I can't even find.
And that's Hannibal.
Today I'm watching episodes 5 through 8 and I was going to take a nap and I just kept watching. I'm like, and it's the guy that did Pushing Daisies, which I didn't realize. So about episode 5.
Pushing Daisies.
Because, and this is a show that got renewed because it's cheap. It's all about the money. It's a French company that films in Toronto. They sold it to BBC. They sold it to French television. They sold it to Canadian television. So there's four countries splitting the cost. So I think they're running it for like 50 cents. It is sumptuous. There are no words to describe the production quality of this show.
Can you tell me what happened to Pushing Daisies, though?
It was too expensive to make.
It was so cute and clever and fun to watch.
It was.
And visually fun.
And this is the same thing. It's not fun. This show is not fun.
Yeah.
But it's that same level. And I was really like 5 episodes in. I'm like, what was the last time I saw a show this beautifully, meticulously put together? And I'm like, Pushing Daisies. So then I got an IMDb. I'm like, Brian Fuller, what did he do before? And then Ellen Green showed up, who was the aunt. Mm-hmm. She was one of the two aunts on Pushing Daisies. And I'm like, and she's also Suddenly Seymour, if you might know Ellen Green from
Suddenly Seymour.
That's Ellen Green. Oh my God.
The original?
Yeah. She's the off-Broadway original, and then she got cast in the movie. That's Ellen Green.
Oh God, I love her.
Oh my God, it's so good. So then I saw Dracula, so I thought, well, maybe NBC has learned its lesson, and we're going to, like, have these beautiful NBC shows like ABC used to have.
Right, bring it back.
Where you can find all the money and all the beautiful production value. And I watch it, and I'm like,
oh no.
What are you going
Kelly
for?
Kelly was excited about Dracula, but we
and
haven't
I was
seen it
too,
yet.
But it was
it's on our DVR. It's sitting.
Watch it and just tell me what you think. I was very thrown by, like, that's a lot of story.
Yeah.
It's Dracula. I don't need a lot of, you don't need to add oil companies and electricity. And I felt like I had to get the history of the World's Fair in Chicago. And I'm like, and then he's got an American accent, but he's in Britain,
Miss
but
Brown's
he's really
barn.
Irish. I'm like, oh, come on.
Okay.
There was a lot going on. And then the Jonas Brothers broke up today, for
I
those
saw
that.
That
care about that.
Wait, I thought
how
that
long
already
were they
happened.
Dating?
Wait. I thought that breakup, we've
a couple
come
weeks
and gone.
Ago, the tour ended, and they wouldn't say why. I don't know if diabetes
drugs.
Came between them or bad music.
Yeah.
But they're
just
gone.
Just bad music.
But I guess
artistic
they all still like
differences.
Each other. Sure.
Hopefully, because they have to spend Thanksgiving together.
And then let me think.
And only one's hot out of the three.
Yeah, you're right. Just the Joe, right?
I don't know which one it is.
Now, did I mention that Star Wars is getting rewritten, that we're not going to let The guy that owns everything.
George Lucas.
George Lucas is not in charge of writing another Star Wars movie. He handed the franchise off. No.
Perfect.
No.
He sold to Disney, and then they gave the franchise to J.J. Abrams from Lost and Alias and then everything you've ever seen since, because everyone loves him, including me. And so he took a look at the script and he was like, no, you're the reason why everyone hates Star Wars now, because you did the episode 1, 2, and 3, the Phantom Menace, the Jar Jar Binks nightmare, and everything that goes wrong. And the fact that I don't like any of the six movies really at all. And so now they're like, you know what? That's nice that you invented these characters, but we're going to take over now.
So you think J.J. Abrams will be better?
Anyone is a better writer than Britney Spears or George Lucas. Many gifts. He should never write a script.
Yeah.
Never, 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 never. So now we're going to talk about my favorite thing all week. What are we at? Okay. And I'm gonna go back to the chat room so I can join in for those of you that watch it. The Talking Dead. Well, The Walking Dead was good, but what really kind of took over America was The Talking Dead, where Marilyn Manson proved, yes, Virginia, you can take too many drugs.
Oh yeah,
he was. And Buddy,
weird.
And I didn't know what Buddy Early was talking about because I was a day
behind. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was a day behind on The Talking Dead, and I told you they always bring in someone. They usually bring in someone who's a super fan, and then they bring in somebody just for like comedy relief. Well, the super fan this week was Marilyn Manson, and Marilyn Manson has gone round the bend. When there was issues, when Tipper Gore was fighting him about lyrics and censorship and all that stuff, sure, he seemed like a very thoughtful young man with a lot of emotional problems and too much makeup. But then, all of a sudden, he's on The Talking Dead, and they couldn't reel him in.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, didn't he seem to, like, he just kept going off and, like, doing these weird tangents, and nobody really, including the host.
The host, it was like,
he's
you trying
usually
to run this
so
show.
Good.
He was,
thank you, good.
He was seriously trying to, like.
He's usually really good. Like, he can keep them wrangled, and especially the fact that they had that woman. Who is she, a writer or a producer?
Oh,
or,
Gail, yeah,
she's
Gail
like
Hurd.
Someone big time.
She's the executive producer since the first season. She's been on board since the beginning, and she's like, he's crazy.
Poor Jack.
I mean, Osborne.
Poor Jack Osborne.
Osborne was on there.
He was swallowed up in the mix. It was almost like he wasn't there. It was like this really uncomfortable executive producer. Poor Chris Harrison, who couldn't get the fucking thing done. Is that his name, Chris?
Hargrove, something like that.
Yep, Chris Hargrove. I'm mixing up The Bachelor and
I'm
Talking
mixing
Dead.
Up
doesn't
a lot
matter.
Of different things.
And crazy ass, take his microphone away.
Oh, it was
Marilyn Manson.
It was like watching any of the people that died after they were on TV. Like Anna Nicole Smith went on the Larry King show, and then she was dead a day later, and everybody was like, why didn't you intervene? Or like pick another dead celebrity who was kind of nuts on TV, and the next day they found him dead.
Whitney
Houston. I mean, you're like, what the fuck is he talking
about?
No, he
is a nut job.
And you could tell he was a pop culture nut because he was tying The Walking Dead into everything from like pop rocks to Britney Spears songs to the lyrics from the Grateful
Dead. And normally
Dead.
They all have a good interaction with each other. And it was just like the Marilyn Manson show. It was bizarre.
Where everybody was like, huh. and they would do a reaction chat from, and even like the audience members that would come up and ask a question would be like, my question's for Gail. Gail only. Gail. I want Gail to answer this.
Nobody
only Gail.
Else.
Make the crazy fucker in the corner stop talking. And he would interrupt and say something and they would
go. Oh, he was so weird.
Huh. It was
really quick question.
It was like a Saturday Night Live
skit
about Marilyn Manson.
What do you think about Super Fun Night? Have you seen that show with
I can't decide.
Fat Amy.
Yeah,
she's just funny as shit.
She is funny.
I mean the show is but she's so funny that I'm gonna keep watching because
they won me over with the opening title credits where they sing the song by Queen.
Yeah. I loved the Halloween episode when she tried to get into the mermaid costume and like fell over. She's funny. Funny.
Sean
Saves the World, I've been trying to get on board with. I really want it to go well because I like him so much, but
don't get attached. Probably it's probably the next cancellation that's coming.
Yeah. It's not that great.
But the one that's going to probably get canceled and they're going to try and save it soon, they're really trying, is the Mindy Project.
Oh, no.
But the Mindy Project can't hold on to its ratings and they're probably going to cancel it.
Oh, that's good. That's
and
a
now
funny
the,
show.
Now the, oh, the ratings part of it. So now they're doing DVR+1, which is when they decide, like, if you had to choose between Monday Night Football, which you can't do anything about because it's live and you don't want to have a spoiler alert, or you watch Sleepy Hollow.
Right.
What wins? Sunday Night Football goes against The Walking Dead. Right. And people are like, okay, we'll watch Sunday Night Football, but then we'll watch The Walking Dead the next day. So they're adding in all these new numbers.
And how do they judge that, though, based on DVRs? Because I personally...
Well, no, because you, have to, because you register. You get the letter from the Nielsen.
Yeah, I want to get that.
Yeah, you wait, and I've gotten it twice, and the Nielsen company picks you for like...
Can I write them a letter and ask them to write me a letter?
No. But you get the letter from them, and it says, we're going to monitor your household, and you give them all your information. I don't get picked a lot because I'm...
I did get it once,
single,
but I want it now.
Single male, like you, they want you to have some kids. They want to sell everything. Unless you tell them you watch TV exclusively on Thursday nights and you go see a lot of movies. That's the trick. Because that's the biggest advertising night is Thursday
night.
Good,
I'm going to do that.
To go to a Friday movie.
Thursdays, lots of movies, and, you go and
see,
I have kids.
But you only go see movies on Friday.
Yep, me too.
You have to be part of the opening day box office numbers. Yeah, doesn't pay off. So what they do is they do all these things, and now they're doing, Nielsen started this year doing Twitter things. So that's when you see the hashtag Walking Dead. They want you to
tweet about what you're watching.
Tweet about what you're watching, because that is almost always live. So they're monitoring a lot of different stuff. And if you watch it on ABC.com or AMC.com, most of them say your fast forward has been disabled and you have to watch. They only make you watch four commercials.
Yeah,
usually.
It's not bad.
For an hour long show, you usually have to watch four commercials.
But they do track those when you go on and watch them on
but
demand.
It counts because the advertiser
gets to get in your
face. Even if you walked out of the room, you had a face to face with that or all the ads on the side. Mm-hmm. They can claim to sell all those ads, so they'll count. Well, the thing that's surprising them is that the shows are doing shitty are staying shitty. And the show that already got renewed for next year, Sleepy Hollow, when they added their 7-day results to it, and like Harrison just started watching it a while later, they were like, Sleepy Hollow's a huge, huge hit.
Oh, when they added their plus
when they
seven.
Added their plus ones, they were like, okay, the live results were good, the plus ones were spectacular, and then they added the plus sevens, and they're like, these are huge
because
numbers.
That's the thing is, I don't normally, I wait. And I would prefer, I'll watch something
night, so,
else on TV
right.
while this is recording so that I can go back, so that I can fast forward
through commercials. Right. But now they're starting to get it, but they're really starting to follow.
But DVR, I do a lot of stuff on demand, and you can't fast forward anything on demand.
Right, but on demand, they're starting to count on demand.
They should.
DVRs.
That's
and
how people are watching TV.
ABC.com, NBC.com. Anytime you watch a live episode because you have to watch the commercials, that's what they're really counting.
Oh my God, Nielsen family, call me.
So if you like a show, watch it somewhere where you have to, and get up and go pee, do what you had to do, do the commercial
right.
like you would if it was still 1983 and you had no choice.
That's right.
Go call your mom, go say hi to someone you know,
right.
make a friend, make a phone call.
I like it.
So it's just kind of fun that they're now including all of these different things in, but the shows that the rating sucks, like Sean Saves the World, still at the bottom of the barrel.
Fuck. Because I just want him to be successful.
I do too.
What about Blacklist?
Oh, number, it's like...
James Spader. Are you into, are you watching
voice.
That?
So no. No. But
it's cool.
I know, but I'm trying to cut down on my hour-long dramas.
Got it.
There's a high bar to reach.
I've recorded all of them, and I haven't gotten into it yet, but Mom loves it.
It's actually, yeah.
But I'm wanting to start it, but I know that it's going to be one of those, what do you call it, tail to snout?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to just commit some time and sit in that living room and just watch all of them, boom, 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 boom,
it
boom.
It is one of the ones that Kelly's been on board from the start, and I just had to catch up 4 episodes, so it was. I like watching them back to back to back.
Yeah.
But it was like the one thing we have a hard time agreeing on shows, and we need some. We like TV, so we want shit that we can watch together and be together. So that was one of them. So she's like, catch up, so we can. But it's cool.
Well, when I get to the tale of the Hannibal, I'll loan you those DVDs.
Oh yes, I'd like to do that.
Sublime. I cannot even. There aren't even words to describe how beautifully the show is done.
One other thing, Blackfish.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was the important thing that I thought we forgot.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
All right. Do you guys want to start while I go pee and I'll join in?
Yeah.
Okay. So I came home.
CNN. If you don't have CNN, what the fuck are you doing? Get a job.
Thanks for that.
Thanks, Alan.
Make better life choices.
He'll be back in a minute. Hot dog. So I came home the other night. I forget what night it was. And I typically, because I'm just a news junkie, I turn on CNN just because I figured something current.
Yeah.
And I'm still annoyed by the fact that headline news is not available in HD, so it's not part of the, like, if you have regular cable.
If you go
cable,
to the HD channels, you miss stuff.
Right.
I hate that, too.
Right. So,
yeah.
And I only watch everything in HD because that fucking TV,
likewise,
I'm not going to watch anything
right?
less.
You paid for the TV.
Right, so I'm going to watch
the HD.
But I wish that headline news, so I could get that repeating news cycle.
Yeah.
I wish. Anyway, the point is, I got caught up, and I didn't see the beginning of it. So I'm going to guess maybe midway through I caught it. I wow, really taken aback by that documentary, Blackfish. It's insane what you find out the behind the scenes crap is. What, yeah. What happens? Not only about how they steal the calves from their moms
and listening
to the moms cry.
And did you see this piece where the scientist was talking about how there's the extra piece in the whale's brain that is like a specific emotional piece of your brain that is larger in a whale's brain than it is in a human's brain. We have similar brains, and there's a piece that's all emotions.
I have not denied
it. It's larger in the whale's brain. And they were talking about it right when they were saying that it is honest to goodness traumatic for these mothers and calves to be splitting up.
And then you
splitting
see
up,
it.
Split
you
up.
You don't have
right.
to
No, they
you don't have
show
to
it.
Yeah. Have you seen it or not seen it?
No, I did, but I got about halfway in, and then I watched the rest of it. So I want to go back and watch the entire thing again.
And full disclosure, our DVR for some reason cut off the second half of it, so we've only seen the first half.
And because I want to do Tail to Snout, I want the whole DVD Blu-ray from Netflix.
Yeah,
because I want to see the special features. I want to
see
what we're not
seeing.
Right?
No, I'm with you. It's I was overwhelmed when I was watching it that. You know, with the one guy, and it's not we're not giving a spoiler alert. There's some bad shit that's uncovered in this documentary called Blackfish on CNN. The one where the trainer was grabbed by the foot and taken down.
I watched that video.
And only survived because he's able to breathe and he knew how to breathe.
He was a scuba diver.
So calm during the whole thing.
But then his feet were fucked up.
No, I understand.
His foot was all busted up.
Have we talked about the lies that SeaWorld tells?
They're all over the place.
And you
about
know
about their lifespan, about the collapsed
oh my god,
the collapsed
yes.
dorsal fin.
The lifespan. She was blatantly lying. And she's like, they do much better here.
And the collapsed dorsal fin. Oh, that's in like 75 to 80% of the whales in the wild have a collapsed dorsal fin.
None.
There are none.
Well, and that you know,
and my guess is because they use it. It's a use it or lose it situation, isn't
probably,
it?
Probably.
So they use it in the wild for navigation, and they don't have to use it at SeaWorld. So it just goes limp. If
oh,
you
and
will.
The abuse, the bleed, the pictures of the females abusing the males,
and
the bleeding fish. They can't go on with the show because the male whale is bleeding out. From being held captive with females where they normally would not be together.
Right.
No, and I think
the males go breed and the females herd stays with them for the rest of their lives.
I may have missed this piece, but I heard it in a different capacity today, as a matter of fact, that about dolphins. So I would imagine that something similar about whales.
The Cove. It's your assignment for the week. The documentary is called The Cove, Oscar-winning documentary. Okay. You might have to get the actual video. I know it's hard work to go get a video nowadays.
Yeah, where do you even do it?
Find it. Find the Cove. Pay the money at Amazon Prime or wherever
Amazon
you have to get it.
Is where it's at.
Yeah, wherever you can find it, see the Cove.
Okay.
And dolphins in captivity is almost worse because of how they capture them.
Well, but
and these are just majestic
the thing
creatures.
Is that in you know, they say that that male dolphins are really violent to the females, even in the wild, and so you put them in a captivity situation and they will kill them. I mean, male dolphins will kill females. And I think it's, you know,
it's the opposite.
But in whales, it has to be something similar. But you know what's really the most interesting to me, and
and the husbandry. Why are we doing animal husbandry?
Yeah.
Just stop killing whales.
What I took
away. They're mating fine. You don't need. And they show them. Have you seen that part? Where
I saw that. They jack up
the whales and like.
Because I didn't get to that part yet.
And they're passing on on whatever this. The psychotic gene pool to others and keeping them in captivity.
Because they've never been free. So you're getting this. You're getting a damaged.
Good.
It's like getting the serial killer and being like, let's reproduce him over and over again. And this dolphin's not a serial killer. He's just traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's like PTSD.
It's like you're, you know, like that Tillicum, they said the women were, the female whales were beating the shit out of him, essentially, and raking him with their teeth.
And you saw the part where he's bleeding out.
Yeah. And
they
you go
on with the show.
Any child that is abused like that by their parent
will become abusive.
Right, exactly.
It's just the cycle of life, and it's just how it works. It's your mental capacity. But what got me the most out of any, you know, horrible things that we saw or heard was hearing the stories of the former trainers at SeaWorld and seeing how visibly the whale catchers, how visibly shaken and upset they were and regretful of any of their choices.
Yeah.
I wish I would have never done this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I wouldn't have worked there. I wish I wouldn't have been a part of it.
And they weren't marine biologists.
No.
They were just strong swimmers.
Yeah.
What do you need to work here? You need to be a really strong swimmer because you got to outswim a fucking whale. Oh,
and they throw them in the water with, and they're like, you could just see them like holding onto the fins and like dancing, air quotes, dancing with these whales. They had to be terrified because at any moment,
like, it was my first day, and first I stood on it, and then I dove,
and then
in
I dove,
front of
and
it.
Then it, I got back on. Yeah. Well, I have a friend that works at SeaWorld, a Facebook friend, and she has made comments before as people have talked about this Blackfish documentary, and because she. And she's
she drank
a
the Kool-Aid.
Very
it's
nice,
another Kool-Aid place.
Really wonderful girl, but I think she's drank the Kool-Aid, and I know she's not listening to the show. We're
because there's millions of dollars behind this, and
so,
that's, they're all telling it. You better be
so
on
I
our
don't
side.
Feel bad saying it, but she's drank the Kool-Aid, and she, you know, she just posted a today a link to a blog called Thinking Out Loud, and it's titled Blackfish: A Movement. We're going where? And essentially, it's someone speaking out about the fact that Blackfish is just, you know, propaganda and don't listen to it. It's the same type of thing. You know, when Michael Moore speaks, I think that he's saying relevant things, but it's the way in which he tells it. And there's so many people that want to silence him that, you know, he gets pawned off as like this crazy idiot, you know, documentary filmmaker, and people don't listen to him.
Because they don't like the curtain being pulled away.
Right. And so I feel like this is something similar that, you know, the people that work at SeaWorld and the staff and the employees, of course, are saying, no, 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 it's just propaganda. Don't listen to this. It's very
but
sad
then you
and
see
scary.
But then you see the collapsed dorsal fin. And then you see the wounded animal sitting there bleeding out that they're like, we're going to cancel the show today because the other whales just attacked that one. And you're like, it's a pen. It doesn't matter how big your pool is. It's not the ocean. And there's no... There's no place where...
Can you believe the sea land when they kept him in just that, like, literally a metal cage?
The sea land was...
Devastating.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Well, that and the actual footage of them, of the whales pulling down the trainers underwater and all of that footage. I mean, you can't... That's just real. That actually happened.
And SeaWorld's not allowed to put people in the water. It's illegal now to put people in the water with the tank.
That's insane. Yeah. But no, I definitely want to see that again because I think... I was so in shock, I think I missed things.
Yeah, oh, I did too.
I don't want to watch that again.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm just going to get this from Netflix.
It's the end of hour two, going into what we call hour three. Moments from now, Katie June's got some stuff coming up about sports and politics. We have much more to talk about, plus thoughtful vulgarity, and our drinking word is hot dog.
Hot dog! We haven't said it much, but we will next hour.
Enjoy that. Get yourself a beverage. We'll be back in just moments on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again, the beginning of hour three. It's Q-Talk America. This is The Show with Clayton McKee. That's me. Thank you for joining us. I am in studio. Well, there she comes back.
Yay!
She had to get wine and ice. I'm in Studio C, that is, with Katie June and Al Perkins. Marty Ryer is on vacation. She's actually performing a ceremony. She's in the chat room right now. She and Aaron are at the Castro District, Pier 39, Fisherman's Wharf, Haight Ashbury. They're all over San Francisco right
Luckily,
now.
Luckily, it's a small city, so you can do that like a Costco.
But they're not getting out for $100. It's going to cost more than that. It is it's the show. It's Tuesday night. We've talked about so much. We are in the middle of a conversation right now about the Blackfish CNN documentary. Did you have something else you want to follow up with that?
Yeah, I had a couple things to follow up with that.
Go ahead.
The main thing is I was never someone who gave a rat's ass about the environment or animals. Like,
you still don't about dogs and cats.
No, but no, I do. I do about animals. I don't want a pet. And so if the Facebook...
But you want no harm to come to them.
Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, I wish them all the best somewhere else. like the ocean. Like, throw the dogs in the
Where
ocean
they belong.
Good luck
well,
to you.
Well, not the dogs, but... Okay,
cats, too.
Or dogs.
That spit really flew. A few years ago, we'll say 15, Harrison and I went to Alaska on a cruise. I had no desire to go to Alaska. I had no dream of Alaska, but I went. And I have to say that going to Alaska and seeing that it's like Texas and Hawaii, they were sovereign nations at one point. I think about Alaska. I'm never really sure. Maybe it was part of Russia. But I think it was its own place. America came in. And at some point during their history, Alaska said, you know what? That's enough. We're just going to take this from here. You can't name anything here. You can't discover anything here. There's no Christopher Columbi in this region. This is Alaska. We're done. It's primitive land, and it will stay primitive land. And they've been battling oil companies for quite a few years on keeping it. Like, we've seen what you did with the 48 contiguous. None of that shit's happening up here.
Okay.
We're keeping this private and separate. And they're so good about it. Like, your cruise ship can go in, but they have to turn off the engines. You have to rely on the current.
Yeah.
They have the naturalists. Cool. The naturalists stand on the deck of the ship, and they talk you through it. There's no screaming. There's no horn blowing. If a glacier calves, God bless it. If it doesn't, you missed it.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully your time is right. And when you go into the place where the seals mate and you see the ice comes out, the ice flow comes out of where the sea lions calve. It comes out red from blood. Not because anything bad has happened, because they've given birth and there's blood covering them. You can't go in there. You're not allowed.
Right.
That's nature.
As you should not be.
Small boats aren't allowed in there. No one's allowed in there. If a cruise ship sees it in there, they have to call it in and be like, shoot to kill. Not the sea lions, the humans. Oh. You're just not allowed to fuck with nature up there. And then I went to Hawaii a couple years ago, and I always wanted to go to Hawaii because sounds pretty, and the Bradys went, and I thought I should go. And then I got there, and it's the same rules. Like, they were like, no, we don't need your business over here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're an island. We speak our own stupid language. Sorry, Marnie. Marsha, we speak our own language. We put K's and U's in everything where no one needs them. But we don't want you here.
Yep.
Like, our whales are fine. The sharks probably breed here. We know that, but we're not going to tell you where.
Yeah.
We're not going to show you where. We're not going to send a film crew there. Guess what? You got to go to South Africa. You want to see something exciting? You're going over there. Because we're going to keep this protected. And growing up in Niagara Falls, which was, you know, Indian land, Native American culture, and we raped it. And
oh, my God.
It, and we destroyed
and
it.
And it's just all like,
it.
You know, Madame Tussauds, wax museums.
That's the Canadian
and,
side.
Like, right.
But the American side was worse. If you can imagine something worse than a wax museum, the Americans did it to it. They just peed in the water and then shit in it and then vomited and then killed a couple things.
Jeez, all right.
And then invited the world.
Right. And so all of a sudden I realized, like, I'm from one of these places that we should have kept pristine. I didn't grow up near Niagara Falls. Right. I didn't grow up in Buffalo, like everyone always says. Always from Buffalo. I'm from Niagara Falls. Like, that's where I was born.
You lived on the island. Or is that what you call it? What do you call
it?
It's
a peninsula.
Peninsula.
But I grew up 10 blocks from the water's edge.
That's
like, I mean, I was born 10 blocks from the water's edge. I grew up 60 blocks. Like, I'm from Niagara Falls, not from nearby, not from adjacent. And we fucked it over as hard as we possibly could in the name of industry. So when you see these things where people just take nature and the hubris of man and we just fuck it to an inch of its life for no reason. Leave those fucking whales alone. Leave those dolphins alone. Just leave them. We have other ways to get oil. It's probably horrible, but we don't need to kill off whole populations. The fucking Trump kids don't need to go kill things. They don't need to go and kill a giraffe on safari to prove they have a dick.
Thank you.
Pull out a measuring tape, measure it. It's small. We know. Yeah. Move on. Get a big car.
And I have friends that had said to me on my post, you know, go if you want to go see the whales, go see them.
Yeah, go
do
see
a
them.
Whale watching.
And I've done it.
And it's great. And when we were in Hawaii, we did a really great sunset cruise. You know, it wasn't on a big boat. And it was on a catamaran and we had wine and it was nice. And as I'm standing on the kind of like, you know, one of the tips of the catamaran and I'm just watching the water and I'm just standing there and I see a dolphin fin and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I call my friends over and I'm like, oh my God, there's like a dolphin and there's one and two and three and four and there's all these dolphins just swimming along the, and what a more wonderful place to see. If I want to go look at dolphins, great. I'd rather be in Hawaii anyway than standing in lines at fucking SeaWorld where they're miserable and
in
pent up
in a dirty
and
fucking
caged.
Tank swimming in their own shit. But so you go to, in Hawaii, the one place I went to off the west coast of Hawaii. And I was on a boat. We were supposed to go see the Sacred Point, and you're supposed to go whale watching, and we did that, and you go a little bit of scuba diving. And the captain just said, there's a pod of dolphins or a school of dolphins. I can't remember which one is the right word for that. They're up ahead. What we're going to do is we're going to cruise the boat up to there, and then we're going to cut
Turn
the engines.
Yeah.
if you know how to get, if you know how to scuba dive and you can get off this boat scuba style, we're not doing anything else. So you had to go, you had to like fall backwards like you're scuba diving,
right.
And you're a strong swimmer, you can swim with dolphins, but we're not telling anybody.
Right. We're not going to put you in a pool and let you hang on.
And there was like 10 of us, and there's pictures all over my Facebook. My Facebook page is filled with these pictures because I swam with the ship's photographer. Between getting on the boat and doing that, we became friends. And I realized, well, he knows where to swim to see stuff. So we, 10 of us, went over backwards, swam around, and the people on the boat were like, they're over there, because they could see the dorsal fins weren't not collapsed. We could see underwater, and there were dolphins like 12 or 15 below us. They were swimming alongside of us. They were jumping
That's
for their own
so
pleasure.
Amazing.
And maybe for us. Maybe they knew they had an
but
audience.
They're happy.
Oh, my God. And they were doing spinning tricks. And you could watch them underwater swim all the way to the bottom just to come up to the top and do a little trick. Like they do at SeaWorld or any of those awful places.
But naturally.
And was it because they had an audience that they knew? Was it because they wanted to have a little bit of fun? Or were they just playing? Was it just playful?
And they are just playful, yeah.
And if you read my thing, it's on my thing from that particular day. I have something on Facebook where I wrote about that day. It was the best day of my life. And I was just laying face down in water watching like these majestic, and I can't say that word enough, like they're just so beautiful. And why would you pen that up and put it in a pool of its own shit?
Yeah.
I don't understand
the,
these
the capturing was so sad when they captured the babies and
so
took them away.
So what's the cove?
And they said, well, we expected all the big whales would swim away to get away from the capture, but they stayed and they cried and they...
And it was heartbreaking.
And then, you know, I'm thinking about my own daughter. Like if someone just... I mean, it's kidnapping. If
it
someone
is.
Just came in and took
totally
my daughter,
is.
I would
exactly
just go, what
the...
I would be...
Agreed.
Yeah.
So anyway. that's my big thing on that is just go to one of the places that the industrialists have not completely fucked with and see what nature really looks like, and you'll go to SeaWorld and be like, this
but
is
what's
not
really
nature.
The end game? SeaWorld's not going to close.
No,
I mean,
it's not. But maybe they
so what's the end game?
Is that they breed like the other guys that fucked with the white tigers and they got ate by one, the two gay guys.
Oh yeah,
Siegfried and
Roy,
Harry, whatever the names are.
Siegfried
and
Roy,
hot dog. Eventually, they're going to eat you.
Yeah,
but
they're going to keep eating them.
Lions or white tigers are very rare. So if your thing is to breed them and introduce them back into the wild,
super.
God bless you. That's animal husbandry at its best. Stop killing them. Watch the cove. Watch what they do to get those to get the four dolphins you just saw. Go watch the cove and then go talk to your friend at SeaWorld who's got because SeaWorld buys from that place in Japan that the cove takes
so
place.
Bad. Okay, good to know.
Was that the end of you had two
GTK?
You had 2 points.
I don't
was that
what
it?
The other one is, but that's it.
Got it.
Just to let you know that I don't hate everything.
No.
Just most of you.
But do you
and
really,
most things.
But
and really, most animals. But, just not dolphins.
But do you really think that this is... How do you think this is going to impact SeaWorld? Because I'm really wondering. There's going to be... I think there's going to be people lining up against it.
Well,
don't you think there's going to become a point where they're like, yeah, we can't even operate anymore. Because
I mean,
so many
even
people
if
hate
it's
us.
Like in a small capacity, Kelly and I legitimately were excited about going before I saw this. And I knew that the controversy was out there. However, to be totally honest, I reached out to my friend that works at SeaWorld, which, you know, and probably I was looking for the answer I wanted to hear.
Exactly.
And I had reached out to her before I actually watched the documentary and knew it was happening. And, you know, and she reassured me that everything's great and things are good. And, you know, same thing that those trainers were saying. And
we don't swim in the water with them.
Right.
So they're happy now.
And I thought, cool, well, we want to go there. And that's fun. It's another fun amusement park. Really, truly. It's an amusement park for wild animals. And,
captive animals.
Once wild animals. And so I won't, we won't go. Like, we won't go. And so hopefully that will change more minds of, you know.
And if you need to, if there is, like, and I can't remember if it's killer whales or if it's the other whales that I can't
remember. Orcas.
Orcas.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. I can't remember gray whales. I can't remember what it is that the Japanese killed for their blubber, and now the population is really low. So if you're capturing them, and you can't put a gray whale into...
I just saw that on 60 Minutes. They did an entire thing about... Because the guy who did green... Not Greenpeace. Maybe there's Greenpeace. He now, because of international law, there's warrants for his arrest everywhere. He has to stay in international waters on a ship 24/7. because he's the one who kept ramming the Japanese whaling boats that were killing the whales illegally.
Yeah.
And they were showing them just like literally, they just kill them, strap them to the side of the boat, get them to the back, and then haul them up in there, and then they just chop them all up.
So at a certain point, when you were trying to get, if you thought that was the only whale to get whale oil to burn for fire, if that was your only source of energy, I get it. It's a primitive time.
But we're past
this
that.
This was the 19th century. Sure. I'm going to give you a pass on that one. But
well,
then
and you also didn't
we discovered
have
all the other ways to rape the environment, right. And you don't need to kill an animal for it. You just need to rape the earth. But
right.
Leave
just
the
go
animals
to Circle K
alone.
And fill your cake.
So if your point is like the San Diego Zoo, and then there's a San Diego Zoo, and then there's that place up the 163, and Harrison will tell me, I think it's called the Wild Animal Park. It's up towards Escondido, I think. And Harrison's got to help me with all these words, these big words that I don't know. What they do there is the point of breeding them to preserve the species. If that's your point, because there is no water, there is no
like panda
land
bears.
Space, or they're deforesting parts of the jungle,
right.
And so you need to preserve the species somewhere, then sure, you're doing the right thing.
That jungle's never going to grow back.
The jungle's not going to grow back.
It's so sad.
But
like,
you
people
have to
just don't
at some
think.
Point release them into the wild. Like the and it's my favorite thing. Whenever and it's growing up in Niagara Falls, when someone takes on, I call it the hubris of man, the minute you think you're going to conquer Niagara Falls, you're just dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Mother Nature wins in every fucking story. She's going to send you a tornado or hurricane. And guess what? You can build whatever nuclear power plant you want in Japan. Mother Nature is going to come across with a tsunami that
right.
you never even dreamed of. And she's going to burn your fucking country down. And you're going to find out, oh, it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, really.
Damn.
Yeah, Wild Animal Park in Escondido. And it's a beautiful place. And they have a
and that's a place you would say, yes, go there.
Well, I would say go there because they're breeding and they're feeding. Like, we watched like lions fuck for most of a day.
Wow.
And when we got on the train, and I don't know what was in the air that day. L'amour, l'amour.
Because then you fucked later
put
that night.
Put 'em up.
But as we were getting on the tram, the person was telling the children on the, like, I hope you've explained everything about the circle of life to your children, because today's circle of life is all about
the
giant erect penises and animals fucking. And right when you get on the train near the
and we're
lions,
back to Halloween.
And seriously, they said the one lion had fucked every female in the pride that day and was still sitting there with a boner. And then there was a giraffe with a hard on, like there was a teenage, like a pubescent giraffe with a hard on that was just kind of like rubbing it on the grass.
Oh,
and there was other giraffes
God.
Fucking. So the whole way through was just a sexcapade.
I'm trying to figure out what the name of this show is going to be for this week at this point.
Hot dog.
Giraffe boner.
So that would be I would send that to your friend in SeaWorld. The only reason I could think to keep an animal in captivity is to maybe breed them to build the numbers back up, which was what Siegfried and Harry were doing.
Yeah.
But then they got sick of it, and they're like, you know what? I'm gonna drag the one
show.
Off by his neck.
Right. Oh.
Because you have to always, it's the hubris of man. You have to remember, that's still a big, giant, wild cat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can pet it and stroke it and dress up like Liberace, but that fucker's still going to eat you. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how
it
to
is.
Break this to you.
Yeah, turn on you at any moment.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Any
just like
yep.
this show. Katie, yep. do you have something you want to
yeah,
share
I'm
with
sorry,
us?
I'm sorry, Katie.
Oh,
I just
indeed.
Ate into all
you do?
Your time.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's pull it off.
Sorry, Katie.
In local sports news, the president and COO of the Phoenix Mercury is out. And we're sad to see her go. The Boston Red Sox are one game away from clinching their eighth World Series. The 2013-2014 NBA season officially starts tonight.
And will never end.
And a Brazilian surfer broke a world record.
Oh.
In
sports. Did he put it back together?
Well, I hope so. I'm sure. I feel like Brazilian surfer, he's got to be a good-looking guy. So, you know, we'll give him that.
We're hopeful.
So, locally, Amber Cox. Amber Cox, local celeb, who is a personal friend of mine, was the marketing director.
Name dropper. Look at her. Look at her doing that.
Yeah. No, it's really
personal
exciting, actually.
Friend of mine.
She was the name dropper. She was not a name dropper. That's me.
Yeah.
She
yeah, no
was
shit.
The marketing director for the Phoenix Mercury and
okay.
worked, served then as their. As some other job before she was at the director of operations before she was installed last year as the president and COO of the Phoenix Mercury.
Chief Operating Officer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
And underneath her, the Phoenix Mercury saw the biggest growth in the WNBA this whole last season. They saw their biggest sales numbers. They hit record sales in the
Is that just stadium for the Mercury's division or the Mercury's franchise?
Uh-huh.
Or is it for overall WNBA numbers?
Just for the Mercury's franchise. Okay. And a big part of that can be attributed to the fact that we got Brittany Griner. Whether or not you think Brittany delivered, I do not.
She did deliver because you sold more tickets.
Thank you.
So guess what?
So you talked about her a lot. I did.
Yeah.
And ultimately, yes. Like, did she deliver in her playing time? No, not necessarily, but I still have hope. But she delivered in terms of making the Mercury the most growing WNBA franchise in the whole league. So
and since at the beginning of the year, remember we read that story where that was one of the eight businesses you could expect to see disappear this year.
Yep.
One of them was the WNBA in America. So
it just is not going to happen. And Robert Sarver is a really, 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 really great partner to the Phoenix Mercury as the owner of the Suns. Anyhow, Amber Cox sent out a note recently that she is out of the Phoenix Mercury and that it was an amicable split. She did try to leave 2 years ago.
Who?
She's the current president and COO.
Oh, okay.
She tried to leave 2 years ago to go back and work in. She played college basketball and kind of, you know, loves the WNBA, but also has a big passion for women's college basketball. So she was going to be the athletic director at a university a couple years ago. The Mercury reined her back in with more money because they recognized she was valuable. And now she's made the choice to move on. She's now going to be the associate commissioner for women's basketball for the Big East. A big job. She's moving to New York and really excited for her. So it's a local,
local girl makes
local
good.
I was just going to say the very same thing.
Makes good. And so just exciting for her. So that's a kind of a big local sports story. The Boston Red Sox, of course, are one game away from clinching the 8th World Series franchise.
Okay. Now I'm looking at
in history.
Say that whole sentence again.
Boston Red Sox, one game away from clinching the 8th World Series title.
How is that possible? That's why I can't.
What do you mean?
The Boston Red Sox, the curse of the Bambino. Like, they won in 2004, and it was like the first time in 100 years.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Yeah. No, I
have it on
you,
here, and then I just like
you keep talking,
deleted
I'll
everything
Google
else.
It because I'm seriously,
yeah,
I'm Google. I'm on ESPN right now, and I'm like, no, the whole point of the Boston Red Sox.
Because I thought it was the Chicago Cubs. They couldn't win.
They can't either. But the Boston Red Sox is the curse of the Bambino because they traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees, and they haven't won a World Series since, and there was a plot point on Lost, was that they were Lost,
lined up to win their 8th.
So they must have won a lot before the curse
Maybe.
Of Bambino.
They lead the St. Louis Cardinals, who they swept for the first World Series 86 years back. I'm sorry. They swept for their first World Series in 86 years back in 2004.
Right, it was 80. I thought it was 100 years. It was
86 years.
The curse of the Bambino is 86 years. They went without winning, and they were in the World Series like year after
and
year.
And so
after
now
year.
They're up for their 8th title. So yeah, they've done pretty well.
So before the curse, they won a couple.
Not only could this be their third World Series in the last 9 years, but the Red Sox have the chance to clinch a World Series at Fenway Park for the first time in nearly 100 years. Because if they win this game, then they'll win it at home,
which is what they want to do.
Which is something they haven't done in over 100 years.
We have to go to Google, so I'll be on Google
while
you chat.
100 years.
Yeah.
A hundred seasons.
Seriously, Google the curse of the Bambino.
Insane.
It's real.
Well, what's really exciting to think about 100 years is Arizona just celebrated our centennial anniversary. So we just celebrated 100 years. And they're still talking about like their baseball team 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes to show
you. I say that when you go back east and you're like, oh, we celebrated air conditioning in 1974. And they're like, we built a statue to William Shakespeare in 1840.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're on a different page.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's very exciting. So game 6 scheduled to start tomorrow at 8 Eastern with St. Louis sending their tough workhorse rookie pitcher Michael Wacha to the mound to face off against a veteran John Lackey from the Boston Red Sox.
And I have to give you one more little bit of trivia.
Yes.
If you've seen Moneyball with Brad Pitt.
And I have.
Okay. If you remember at the end, the Oakland A's, which are a low money team.
I loved the A's when I was growing up. The Bash Brothers.
But
boom.
They got very far based on Brad Pitt's characters.
Yeah, just
theory,
numbers.
But the team that won the World Series because of that was the Boston Red Sox in 2004. That's the team that took his theory and won the World
and
Series.
Beat it.
And it turns
against
out
him.
They won in 2007, and clearly I was busy that year graduating from college, so I missed it.
Yep. So welcome.
Hark.
Welcome
yeah,
to the show.
There it is. So, because I didn't know they won again, but they won in 1903, 12, 15, 16, 18, 2004, and then
yeah.
just, without me noticing it, in 2007.
Yeah.
But 2004
really cool.
was the big
That's
year.
That's very, very exciting for Boston. And if you've ever had a chance to watch a game at Fenway Park, I mean, it is really an experience. And I'm lucky to have done that. And just to be in Boston, to go out before the game and drink some beers and go and sit in Fenway Park. And it really, really is cool. And it's a different feeling being in those kind of in the hallways of Fenway Park versus, you know, Diamondbacks, like, which is great.
And we're still fair weather friends because we just got air conditioning in 1974.
Well, exactly.
So you need to stick with the team. And the fact that there's that kind of loyalty from 1918 to 2004.
Well, it's like, the kind of a city that it is.
A century goes by. Mm-hmm.
And they are still huge fans.
They didn't invent fantasy football because their team sucked. They kept going to the games.
Yeah, no.
You know
so
what
it's
mean?
Really cool. So
yeah.
it's cool. So
you stick
you
with
know,
your team. And someday Arizona will do that and they'll support the Cardinals even though they suck.
Yes.
Not me, but someone will.
Not me either.
In other sports news, the 2013-2014 NBA season officially starts tonight when LeBron James and the defending back-to-back champions...
Miami Heat.
Thank you. God, you're so good at everything. Welcome the bitter rival... Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls to town to tip off the season in style.
Oh, that's a good opener.
Mm-hmm. LeBron James is fresh off of a great year.
Won championships.
MVP and the NBA regular season MVP and the finals MVP. He became one of the six players ever to accomplish this on his way to his second NBA championship. Derrick Rose was from the Bulls. He's hoping to... he is an incredible
Chicago's
player,
glory.
Yes, and hoping to bring it back for Chicago. So it's a very exciting game to start NBA.
That
am jazzed.
And there's another one. Win or lose, you still, that's your team.
Right.
Like, you don't care that they've never, you know what I mean? I mean, they're not as bad as, no one will ever be as bad as the Arizona Cardinals are. But, like, Chicago has some sucky years, but
they do.
They're loyal.
Their fans
like
are loyal.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
Although,
like, you're with
you know,
them.
You got to think, like, and the Suns are starting that. Like, my brother, for example, is someone, he is a Suns fan. Just, like, a diehard Suns fan. And he knows that they're going to be shitty this season. But he is going to root for them every game.
Because they've been around long enough that you stay
yes,
loyal.
He
you
is going to root. He is a fan. And he doesn't care. They can lose every game. And he'll
again,
still go. And he'll still cheer.
They don't have a fantasy. And, you know, I didn't understand fantasy football. I've been in the dark for many years about fantasy football.
Right.
I didn't get what they're doing.
No, I get it. I don't get it.
But
I get what it is.
But here, I'll help you out. And let me just tell you what it is. So I'm watching this thing because there was this past 2 months ago, September, I think is what it's called. I don't know if I'm using
ninth
that.
Ninth month of the year, my birthday month. That's all right.
Thanks, mine too.
MDA telethon.
So September happens. Yeah. The Michael Douglas telethon happens every year, no matter what you do. I may have the initial
Michael
problem.
Douglas, a lot of needs there.
You'll never walk alone.
A lot of needs.
But yeah, you'll never.
Mm-mm. Never walk alone.
So when they were asking people, because they thought it might be illegal because fantasy football is now gambling.
Yeah,
and you can't gamble in bars. And the one guy was like, well, the Cardinals suck, so I have to play fantasy football or else who will I root for? And I'm like, oh, that's why you have fantasy football, because you're fair weather fans. Like, you don't understand going to a lose. You don't know the Buffalo Bills. You've never sat in the freezing cold and watched a team lose 27 years in a row and been like,
I'll
our
come
day
back
will
next
come.
Year.
I may be dead.
Yeah, but
you
it'll
may
happen.
Have been alive in 1918 and had to wait till 2007 for them to win again.
That's so sad.
Right? It's a fair weather fan. Yeah. You're not loyal. So you need something to distract you
from your sucky team.
So you
team.
Can feel like a winner. And I'm like, you're losers. So now I'm completely against fantasy football. I'm like, you're just losers who can't accept losing. So you have to make up some game
make
that doesn't exist.
Make up a team. That's not real.
Fuck
well,
charts. Doesn't that make sense? Aren't you suddenly enlightened?
I am.
I am.
Thank you.
I still couldn't care any less.
No, I'm definitely not going to play it, but cool.
But I'm at least consistent.
But you're from Missouri. They don't have any teams in Missouri.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
And we used to have the St. Louis.
Oh, that's not in Kansas?
Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City Arrowhead Stadium's in Kansas City, Missouri. Also, before...
First time to know that.
Stand by. Before they became the Arizona Cardinals, they were the...
St. Louis Cardinals. Yes.
And then they moved because... And I agree with
expansion.
What my mom says. I agree with what my mom says. You cannot have a team... in Arizona, that's not an indigenous animal to Arizona.
Right.
So they can't be the Arizona
Cardinals. Love your mom.
You think that's why we're losing?
They've got to be like the Arizona Geckos or whatever the fuck.
Arizona Quails. Yeah. Arizona Roadrunners.
Javelina.
Arizona we already have those.
Sewer roaches.
Right.
Arizona sewer roaches.
Right, but I agree with that.
Giant bugs that everyone's afraid of.
Cicadas.
That's
only 17 years.
You're like North Carolina.
Shit. Well, but they come here.
But I like it. Yeah. I like the way you're thinking.
The chupacabra. Anything. Something.
The Arizona chupacabra. We are officially the hot dog.
Call the Bidwell.
I don't want to be like the Debbie Downer. Not going to catch on.
That would sell some. I think it would sell some tickets. You got T-shirts, maybe. You got Mexicans because they're the only people that can translate chupacabra. It means goat sucker.
People who think chupacabra is a really fantastic mystical creature. Yeah,
that's three different groups. Yeah. That's more than you have now.
People who just think it's fun to say.
It means
goat
sucker.
That's three more groups than we had now.
No. Right. Because all you got is bird watchers who haven't seen a cardinal in years because
they don't live here.
And they don't go to the game.
Well, there's
Cactus
that too.
Flower, it sounds a little gay, but it might work. And there's a whole new fan base. Zoo lights? These things happen.
And hot dog.
The
I mean,
Arizona Zoo Lights football team.
Are you ready? The Arizona Luminaria.
Oh.
It's fancy.
Oh, that's also a little bit gay.
You might have to wear opera gloves.
Yeah. The Squaw Peakers.
The Squaw Peakers.
The Arizona Squaws. That would for surely get us shut down.
The Arizona Pull It Out because it's the apocalypse. Maybe I'm the only fan.
Just call them the Arizona Dreamy Draw.
That's nice,
then
too.
Then we get the alien people in.
Exactly.
I laugh now at every quote. I don't think I had really paid attention to the special quotes on Talking Dead, and now I'm really into them. I look forward to them. So we have one more sports story. A Brazilian surfer named Carlos Burle, who I sort of feel like you will love.
We're all assuming he's hot, right?
Well, say the name again.
It's Carlos. Last name is... I'm saying Burle. It could be Burl. It's B-U-R-L-E.
Oh, I hope it's Burle.
Burle.
It sounds French.
Carlos Burle.
Keep going.
Has just broken the world record for riding the highest wave ever.
Ooh.
Which could be you.
I feel like there should be a video.
Is that a Perkins wave?
The highest wave ever. You rode this Perkins wave.
Yep. Biggest flame, highest wave, danger of hominins.
You'll take it either.
No, that's synonyms.
Either one.
My bad.
So for the past 3 years, big wave breaks just off of the Nazaré. Portugal.
I am not on board. I'm going to say it right now. I'm not on board.
You're not into him?
Nope. Well, he's a really great surfer.
Let me see.
Has continually served up some of the most massive surfing rides in history. The bar was raised further when he was towed into what may prove to be a world record wave. The exact height has yet to be determined.
Oh, I did see this on... I saw this on CBS Sunday Morning or 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
I heard about this.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Oh, okay, first off, it's a unibrow. And secondly, he's a bit old for Clayton.
Yeah. Well...
and possibly me.
Okay, well, now let's be... Now we're getting realistic.
If we get Bruno Mars surfing somewhere... But yeah, I saw him on the news report. Yes, I agree.
Right.
Okay.
Well, he said all of the angles that were shot with video and still cameras don't do this wave justice. He was right on the peak. He was in the most critical section of the wave, and the drop just kept going and going and going and going. And it was hard to tell where the bottom of the wave was. Oh. He's never seen anything like it before.
It's a dirty story.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, the footage that I saw on the news where they showed some camera shot where the wave was up, the bluff, cliff, whatever, where the people were watching him, that was already at 100 feet, and the wave was above that. It was incredible.
And I can't even imagine what that feels like to be that surfer where, how much adrenaline do you have, and you're just like going and going and going and going and going, and the bottom just never drops out of you. I mean, that's really incredible.
I wish the bottom never dropped out.
Stop it.
More dirtiness.
Sometimes
you heard it here
first.
You heard it here first, but we doubt it.
No,
anyhow.
But, yeah, but that, damn it. Why it won't load fast enough, but I was going to show you. It's insane. It really is insane to realize how high.
Yeah, no, I saw the picture of it. It's really crazy. And what's really, he said, he's very humble, and he says, this could have been anyone. You just have to be at the right place at the right time. The most important part about surfing is you go out with your friends and you come back in with them. Everything else is just extra.
No, it is. You want them all to live.
I think, and I
may be speaking out of.
I realize viewers at home can't see this. He's already at 100 feet, and the wave is bigger than 100 feet.
Right? Yeah,
that's insane.
And if for some reason you know, you don't have cable, your life is sad.
There's that.
There are documentaries about surfing, and there's one whose name always escapes me. And I think Tyler has left the building, but I'm sure
probably because you were like stabbing too many people in the throat. Maybe.
Yeah, it could be the violence,
bleeding out.
But there is, oh my God, it's one of the most famous documentaries ever made, and just especially now. And I have not watched it, I don't think, since I've had high def TV and all the fun things, all the toys that I have. If you watch, and it's called Catching a Wave, or
yeah, sure, I feel
riding
like
the
that
curve,
makes, I feel like that's
or,
real.
Oh my God! And you
I feel
watch,
like it's real.
Yeah, Catching the Wave. That sounds real.
But it might be Riding the Curve or something like that. And you watch this documentary, and first you have to figure
the curl.
There's this Riding the Curl. I think it's called Riding the Curl. You watch the guy surfing, and it's incredible. And then you get to the end of the movie, and you realize, who filmed that? It was a guy riding backwards.
Oh, on a board?
On a board, a foot in front of him.
No.
So the better surfer is the guy taking this fucking film. Or then the ones that the waves are so big, and I'm sure if you watch the video of this guy catching it,
yeah,
he was brought there by a boat or a jet ski.
Well, yeah, and the boat films it. And they also
But
have,
he's pulled along to the crest on the jet ski or the boat, and then he's
let go. And then they bail. I think that's right.
Because you can't swim fast enough.
I think
because
that's
the,
naturally.
The hubris of man.
Oh,
you, in a wave that this guy caught,
in
you
a world.
Have to be pulled out.
So in a world where the wave is 100 feet tall, hot dog may be necessary. So,
Clayton has it down really good, though.
I've never
you
heard
are
him do that.
In a world.
Oh, I don't have this. No.
God, I wish we could practice that.
We'll get
but
there.
Also, you know what else they do? They sometimes, a couple things. They sometimes have, I guess these are more up close shots. They sometimes have cameras attached to the front of their boards.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then they
yeah.
sometimes hold like the long stick, like the long wand way out in front of them. And they hold it while they're surfing with the little camera on
their hand. Yeah. Well, now, but back when they filmed it, what he was talking about, they didn't have all those funky cameras.
Yeah, it really
now
was some guy surfing backwards with a camera.
Right.
Or he had the camera over his shoulder just hoping. And you just hope to catch the shot. So the first guy had to catch the wave. And the second guy had to be lucky enough to get the shot.
Right.
Which was rare. And there's because there's a famous video of the guy dying in the surf. Or no, he gets eaten by a shark in the surf.
Oh.
And the lucky thing is somebody turned on the camera because they're like, that's a huge wave. That surfer's going to catch it. And they're like, oh, I think that's a shark. Oh, no, it's two sharks. And the two sharks eat the guy in
what?
The wave.
Wait, what?
Shark Week. Every year I try to get you to watch it.
Shit. All right, tell me what this – I need to watch.
Guy gets eaten by two sharks in a wave. I'm only sure there's only going to be one video of that.
Eaten by – and it's like literally a thing. Two sharks in a wave. I literally can't
two
wait
sharks,
to watch
one
this
cup.
Later.
Two sharks, one cup.
Two sharks, one cup. Thanks,
Celia.
There
is nothing more entertaining than 1 week of Shark Week. Like because there's always some dumbass on the shore that thought, I should turn a camera on this. And you're like, oh my God, he gets eaten by two sharks. Split in half
Holy
in the board. The only thing
balls.
That,
this is going
to
be fucking crazy. And I can't
snout
wait.
Surfing. All that comes to shore is a bunch of hair and a surfboard.
Oh my God.
Are we done with?
Did you find it?
I'm literally watching.
She's watching it.
It,
yeah. And there's
and
the surfboard.
Two sharks.
Yeah, there's
they
the
come
surfboard.
Right up, and you can see them.
Are we ready? So, are you done, Katie, with sports?
And that's it in
sports
and shark attacks.
And there we go. Here we go.
Now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Okay, our first question...
We have plenty of time.
Question number one. This is something, and I hope Harrison is still listening. She hasn't texted me
hey,
to say
Harrison.
Goodnight. But I hope she's still listening because I want to hear from her too. 5 years from now, will you remember what you did yesterday?
I don't remember now what I did yesterday. You're playing with a broad brush, though, you mean?
No, I meant
literally yesterday.
I literally cannot remember what I did yesterday, right now.
Okay.
Well, I take that back. I based on what I did do yesterday, I probably will. Oddly.
Ooh, that sounds like it must have been something memorable.
Well, because I need the wrong shot. That shot's what I need. No, because
I like how you just spun up and danced.
Yeah,
that
was fun.
It's a pirouette. No, because yesterday it was And again, if you're not in Phoenix and you're not local, you're not going to really understand this.
Please, love it of your wine. I just drink wine faster than you do.
We have a friend who opened a bar.
Hashtag so drunk.
We have a friend who opened a bar here in town called named Stacey Lewis. The bar is called Stacey's at Melrose.
Oh. Yes.
And yesterday was the first time since I was there when the city of Phoenix approved his bar and said, yes, you can drink on your patio. Not approved his bar, approved his patio. So I went yesterday in the afternoon with Jason Carlton, Shane, Ruben Contreras, and his roommate Mark, and we all went and had cocktails in the afternoon on that patio with Stacey. And it was just, I remember that day because it's a new era for him, and it's a new patio.
And that's a big deal. Yeah. So it takes a lot of work.
I believe I will remember that. But I mean, for most days, no, they blur together. So since I enjoy so much routine, they would blur together.
Yeah.
And for the most part.
And I, like, if I legitimately thought about what I did yesterday, it was, honest to goodness, it was nothing. It was swim lessons. After swim lessons, we go for burritos and tacos with our friends. And then I worked. How boring.
Yeah. I mean, I cleaned my house. I decided it was time to clean my house. And the reason I asked this is, like, what comes up that stays as a memory? Like, what is it that makes something a memory that you're like, even if you're going to alter it a little bit or maybe add a little more fun to it or screaming, but like my thing would be like from this week, a lot of it would just be working and sleeping and napping too much. But the Fear Farm thing and the getting on the spinning thing and like the clown coming out of the ceiling, like I'm going to remember that forever. Like that's going to stay with me because that was like, oh my God, that's so different. Like I would have never thought that they would get a contortionist to hide in the ceiling and like swoop
drop
down.
Out at you.
Yeah, like I think
it's an interesting question, an interesting thought, because now that I have Palmer, I've never been a scrapbooker. I don't journal. It's just not my thing. But now that I have Palmer, I keep I have a note. So I suppose that I lied earlier when I said of all of the apps I use my notepad, and I take lots of notes about Palmer, and I write what she did and what she said and like all these funny things. And
it's a journal or a diary.
It's a baby electronic baby journal, and
a great use for your phone.
And when I think she's really funny or when she says something,
and do you back that up and save it somewhere,
yes,
or do you risk
losing it
if you update your phone like Al?
On the
have
cloud.
It on the cloud.
On the in the cloud, Bob.
Got it on the cloud.
In the cloud, Bob.
It's in the cloud, Bob.
Hot dog. Yep. So
it's in the hot dog, Bob.
But my point is, I have never once in the last 2+ years that I have been keeping notes, I've never gone back and looked at them.
But that's even like, more fun. So you go and let's say in 5 years, you know, you look at your accumulation of notes and you're like, yeah. I remember this day when Palmer did this.
And I'm sure that I would probably remember those days because I made the specific notation on that day of, you know, and not that I'm going to remember, you know, if I look at the date and it says, you know, September of 2011, I'm not going to remember that, but I'll remember why I wrote it down and why was important.
Well, because I don't ever think my mom's mom always kept journals for many, many, many years. She would literally write, you know, Grandpa got up today and we had a new calf, or you know, I went to the garden or whatever. She would write all kinds of things about her daughters and us grandkids, but it wasn't something you went back and you read every day. But going back after she passed away, and then we would go back and reread her journals. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That, you know, we found out that she really cared that, you know, Clayton showed up today wearing some new shirt that he had, or, you know, he bought another car or whatever. So she remembered these things, and you get to see it in her perception. So I think they'll be invaluable to Palmer later on if you save those, and she can look back. Let's say that you don't give them to her until she's 30.
Right. Yeah,
or something, and she can look back and she can see how much mom documented along her life and what her milestones were. I think that's fantastic.
So
I do that for Maggie and Marty, but I don't think they're going to get it.
Total side note. I guess it was about an hour ago, Cosette was texting me. She was listening to the show live.
Oh, Cozy.
So if Cozy is still on board, welcome aboard. We're happy to have you from San Diego.
Go ahead. Yes, and it's a beautiful thing, and I have a story related to San Diego.
Ooh,
I'm going to tell you.
Good.
Tell yours in regards to the five years, or did you?
What do you mean?
Will you remember in 5 years what you did yesterday?
Oh no! So then you answered the follow up question. Like, what is it that makes it? Because you know how you drive to work every single day, or you ride your bike to Charlie's every single day. It's the same. Every day, and most of the time you're just tuned out. You're just checked out.
You're
listening to music.
It. You're going through the motions.
Like, I'm like, did I actually pass Hobnobs today? Because I know it's there, and I know I pass it, but I didn't see it today. Did it disappear? Did the building blow up? I don't know. So what is it about a day that makes it?
Now, the funny thing that you say this is because, oddly, just today I posted on Facebook about this. For the past few days, now granted, my truck's in 1991. It's got almost 203,000 miles on it.
Well, and it's still running well.
Which is something, right. I mean, it's something you would never have because
you freak out about that.
But I've been wondering for the past couple of days, I'm like, why am I smelling antifreeze? And I thought, well, I just topped it up, so maybe that's why.
What does antifreeze smell like would be my question.
It's very sweet. It's very sweet.
Oh,
and the problem with that is that because it's so sweet, if it ever sits out and animals get it, they think it's sweet and good and it kills them from the inside out.
They should drink.
So they should not drink that.
Right, yeah. Neither should humans. But if you drink a lot of alcohol first, you'll live.
Yeah.
Because the alcohol binds to it.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. But I found out today that the heater core, the part, the little radiator in the cab of your truck or inside the car that gives you heat, water flows through that, so it will fail, just like a radiator will. Little hole, so water will drip into the cab of the truck or the cabin of the car. And I realized, well, I replaced this 15 years ago.
Oh, right.
I'm in my head, I'm like, it seems like I just replaced it, and then I realized, oh, it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, well, I will remember this week because my heater cord just started leaking. So the little things, little milestones that I remember, because that's
something different. It's something to break out of the monotony.
Norm. Yeah.
And then you realize like how much of your life is just monotony.
It's
kind of wrong, but there's no way to get around it. Like,
I mean, I would even, like, you go to the people who you would say the lives are not monotony, and I'm just going to let's use Bette Midler as an example. Somebody who is a superstar, movies, concerts, she tours, she sings, and you would think that her life is never boring or never monotonous. She doesn't remember every concert, every performance,
because
everything.
She has to sing the same 20 songs
over
every time.
And over, right.
So you know she checks out and it turns into a drive to work and she's like, did I do the ballads yet?
Right.
Well, because
she is. It's totally work.
She's going to work.
She's going to work.
So you think, did I sell that chicken fried steak to that customer again at the restaurant or whatever
you
did?
Oh, God, did I sing that stupid song about the wind beneath my wings yet? Because I feel like I sang it about a thousand times.
You know, I do a lot of these fundraising events and I'll get people and we have some really wonderful supporters who will do an event year after year after year, and they're doing exactly the same thing. It's plug and play. And I'll have people from last year that go, well, you know, we're just gonna do the same thing we did last year. And I'm like, but what did we do last year? And I really have to rack my brain to think about what their house looks like, what the setup was like, what did we do last year. I can't.
Unless you've got a pictorial reference you
can
go back to.
Yeah.
I don't remember those.
Like, for a while, I could keep all the Halloween shows straight of, like, what was the theme, what was the year, what kept it together. And now it's only 2001 because of what we were doing when September 11th happened because we were rehearsing. And then how did the show turn out? And then I went to New York. So that's the only show that I know entirely what went on because there were so many moments of that became poignant. Like, I remember sitting around the fountain and me and three people deciding, like, can we sing, like, can any of us really sing the national anthem
and get through it?
And no, but can we, like, right, but can we, are any of us, like, vocally capable enough of singing the national anthem
to, like, do this is a part of the show?
Sitting on the fountain on, like, September 20th or whatever it was, whatever the two Sunday Monday later, and then realizing that, like, picking the key and getting it done and being like, and sitting outside and having like all these people congregate around the fountain in the courtyard of BS West while we sang the national anthem and we had like picked the key and rehearsed it and we weren't singing it for anybody. We were just trying to find out if we did this in front of people,
would it work?
Right.
And being like, oh yeah, like we can all sing. Like, yeah, we got through it. Like, we picked the right key, we got it done, and we never did it again except for that one time because we realized like what it did to people in that time frame. And that day of sitting at the fountain at BS West and singing the national anthem and having all these like tourists and people coming around because it's like September, early October, and hearing the three of us for no reason just singing the national anthem and people were just drawn to it. And we're like, we can't do that during the Halloween show.
Yeah, because it's just going to take
We can't do that with liquor.
It's going to take, like, the Halloween show to a whole nother
to a whole nother level. But that's one of those days I remember for the rest of my life because that's the only time I've ever sang it in public. And it was, like, not planned. And it was people I don't really know or, like, but we were like, can we?
Which just made it super special.
And I remember Fernelli just sitting there and being like, never again.
Right.
Like, maybe years from now, but never again. That was too weird.
Too soon.
It was
literally too soon.
But it took all of us by surprise. Like, none of us were ready for, like, I didn't know I could sing. I didn't know I had that in me.
But it's so,
or I mean, that I knew the words.
And I suppose that maybe that's a big, big event, but how funny that here it is however many years later and you can look back on it and vividly remember.
That day. I don't remember, like, what day it was, but I just remember, like, sitting on that fountain. And that I remember the three people, yeah. And I remember the three of us. Like, can we do this? And, like, picking a key and trying to figure out what was the highest part and what could we do, yeah. And where we were. And, like, just – and the people just coming – and I think it was a Monday night. And people just coming out of the woodwork at, like, 7 o'clock at night. And, like, everyone, like, crying and looking at us, like – seriously, in like half drag clothes. I was in high heels and gym shorts because yeah. That's how you rehearse.
It was a dress rehearsal.
It was weird.
There are so many instances, though, in my life, too, that I remember so vividly. I mean, I think I remember them more vividly when they were in, you know, just after college or in college, mm-hmm. You know, or in the last, so I suppose in the last 10 a little bit years. That I just from, you know, I don't know. And they'll just come up in my memory randomly. How do you determine what's going to stick? You know, I don't know. Like, how do you determine, oh, this is a really fun thing I want to remember. Like, this is something so great yeah. that you just, you know, and I suppose
but
that.
Do you ever do that? Like, are you ever in a moment where you're like, remember this moment?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever, like, consciously been like, remember you were here. Remember you saw this. Remember you did this. Like, have you ever had that kind of a moment?
Yes. And it's very interesting because I've generally been a picture taker in those types of moments. And
I never am. That's why I have to always say, like,
well, but here's the interesting thing is
mental picture.
I always wanted to, like, I've always been a picture taker. And then, you know, so I remember the first time I went to Europe, right? And I remember that. And I was 16 and I went with the high school group and my best friend and I went and we were the rebels of the group. So we kept sneaking off and doing things we weren't supposed to do, which was amazing.
That's what you're supposed to do in Europe. Yeah.
Yes. And,
if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in Europe, you're not doing it right.
Then you're not doing it right. And it was actually really great because my leader worked at my dad's high school and at one point was like, called him. I think while we were there, it called and was like, your daughter, and my dad's like, my daughter has the authority to do whatever's not illegal in the country of wherever, France. Like, if it's not illegal, she has my permission. It was so fucking cool. Anyway, and I, like, remember all those things.
My mother would have called him and, like, whatever is illegal, he'll probably try to do it.
Yeah,
so,
but my dad's like, just let her be. Right. And so I took lots of pictures. And I remember my friend Laura and I, who were there together, said, okay, no pictures that don't have people in them. Because pictures of scenery at 16 are real fucking stupid and who cares. But even the pictures with people in them, it's so interesting. I don't go back and look at them. I have them in a photo album in a drawer in my garage. But Kelly's mom recently went on a trip to London and Italy and all these other places. And she is a second-time cancer survivor. She's currently battling breast cancer again and all of the side effects that come along with breast cancer and the lung infections and the blah, 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 blah. And she's at the point, her husband's passed away from cancer, and she's like, I just want to live my life. And it was so interesting when she was gearing up for this trip with her friends, and they're like, now make sure you have this, and you have enough film, and you have your camera, and you have your phone, and you have all these things. And she's like, no, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not taking fucking pictures. What do I want to look at pictures for? I want to go.
And be in that moment.
Yes. And she was.
That's how I feel when I travel. I've taken a picture of something that I thought was so spectacular. And then I've looked at the picture and been like,
it doesn't do it justice.
It doesn't do it justice. So then the camera leaves day one of a vacation. I'm like, that's
the same thing that what you're explaining to me. And I know you're going to agree with this. People who go to concerts and film it and watch the concert through their phone.
Listen to the voice. Listen
watch
to the
it.
Song.
Watch the staging. Watch the lighting.
No, you're totally right.
Don't,
and I did that for
you,
one.
You stumbled on my. Both of you have stumbled on what I'm trying to get to. Be in that moment.
Yeah. It's so true. And when
because on your drive to work and all the things you do day to day, you're not in that mm-hmm. moment. You're just like, I'm going to work. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm doing this. You're not in that moment.
Yeah.
You're just getting through it. But when you stop, especially when you go on vacation or something, or you're with the dolphins, and I swam with the photographer, so I have the pictures. I didn't take one picture,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that guy was going to sell those pictures later, and I wanted every one because he was 1 foot over from
me. So you got to still do the entire experience have memories.
And I can, you cannot believe,
but it's so
if you don't
want to
believe me, but if you don't want to believe me, you don't have to. If you don't want to believe that I saw those dolphins, that's up to you because I'm not in the picture. It's not a picture of me with a dolphin behind me. If you don't want to believe me, that's up to you, but I know what I saw and the fact, and the camera still his pictures, he's a professional photographer, he's under the water, But you couldn't get that joy with
it. Here's something that's interesting. I don't go back and look at really many of my old photos.
I rarely do.
I'm actually in that. I was laughing with my family, my older family, who's like, oh, we're all taking our, you know, trying to digitize our photos and get them into digital form. And I'm doing the exact opposite. I bought a photo printer for my birthday. It was my treat. And because I want to have printed out photos and make photo albums again. Are you? Come on. Like, I used to love to go to my grandparents' house. And I knew which drawers. You know, they had this whole dresser in their living room, and it was all the bottom drawers were photo albums. And I wanted to look at my dad growing up as a kid,
right,
and as my grandparents when they were growing, you know, in their younger years. So how much of that too, though, if you're not taking the photos, are you missing out on passing on to a younger generation?
A little bit. Like, now, when they told me, like, when it was time to put my house on the market, and they were like, oh, you got to get rid of the pictures. And every time they would come over to Stage's house, you got to get rid of the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my parents
and now
did
my
that.
House, and as I was, because I cleaned my whole house yesterday, I had a day off, and I was like, I just want to open all the windows, clean the house, enjoy it.
Phil then, Collins, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Do that. Not so much Phil Collins, but maybe the Doobie Brothers.
I keep forgetting.
So I keep forgetting. So
parenthetically speaking.
Exactly.
Hot dog.
I'm not in love anymore, parenthetically.
Is that the Doobie Brothers?
Yes.
No, it's Michael.
Mike Michael McDonald.
Solo. Oh, perfect. It's his big hit. I keep Don't forgetting. I'm not in love
keep
anymore.
Forgetting I'm not in love anymore.
Yeah. So as we're doing it, and I don't take a lot of pictures, but when I do take a picture and I do want it up somewhere for someone to see, that as I was cleaning, I'm like, where's the picture of Harrison on the top of the jungle gym that I absolutely love? And it's, I know the story behind it. I know it's a random picture that they were on their way to someone else. They passed a jungle gym in the desert and they went and took pictures, and she just, it's a fun picture of her on top of a jungle gym, just reaching towards the sky and like just screaming. And it's not the picture they intended to take. It wasn't the point to the trip. But I, the first thing I said, I'm like, I want that picture. That's how I want to remember you, is on top of a jungle gym, just screaming and laughing.
Oh,
I want that one.
Harrison.
And there's other pictures that are missing because my house is staged for people to come look at it, but they're not me. And so I'm like, I need to end this house for sale thing, because I want the very few pictures that I really like to be out around my house again. Like, I want my house to look like I live there, and I want to look at those pictures. One of my favorite pictures, it's goofy as all fucking get out, but it's Ryan Freeman and me in front of a campfire. We're both wearing baseball caps, or what are those hats called? Like,
Beanies.
Like a
winter hat, right.
We're both wearing winter hats. We're sitting in front of a fire and we're cuddling, because it genuinely was like 3 degrees. We were up in the mountains in front of a fire and we're snuggled together, and it's so cute and so much fun. And I love that picture. And today I realized, when did I put that in a box to make the house more sellable?
Several months back.
And as I was dusting the counter, Rich, and said, I'm like, how long have I not had that picture that I think is so much fun? And people look at it and don't think it's me, because first off, I'm wearing a hat, which I never do. And then it's a winter hat, which I would never do.
Yeah.
And then it's me cold, which I would never agree to.
Admit to it, right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, there's something to the pictures, and there's something to being in that moment.
Yeah.
But I remember that moment of like,
but you remember it, but you can't pass it along.
No.
But no, you can't. You're right. You can't pass on the
And
the
if somebody comes
of, the
to my house, they
there.
Can't point to that picture and be like,
I know,
when did you wear
cool.
a hat? No, but they can't say, like, when did you wear a hat? When were you that cold? And when were you willing to be photographed?
Right.
One of the
Clearly
nice,
not in your best, like, not in your most photogenic.
One of the nice things that I have to rely back on is my mom was always, and just, I don't know why, but it just happened that she was the photojournalist of the family. She always, from the time she was a teenager up, she always had a camera. So she, because my grandmother didn't, and not always, and my aunts didn't, she was the one who had all the pictures of all of us growing up, and moments, and parties, and family functions, and things, because mom was... She was camera happy. She just shot everything. The beauty of that is, though, I understand what you're saying about not necessarily being in the moment. I have the luxury of being able to go back and looking through all of these pictures.
Other people taking pictures of you having fun is a great
idea.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I...
And Harrison will agree
on
that.
And the funny thing is to me that you're doing the reverse of what I want to do. I have boxes and boxes of photos, and I'm not sure when I'm going to find the time to do this. However, there are services you can pay for, and they will do it for you. Yeah. I want to scan all of those photos, because I also know that my mom's sisters and her children do not have these pictures of their own growing up. Like, I have a niece who has three kids and is married and has a full life. She doesn't remember a picture that I have of her at 5 or 6 years old laying on the kitchen floor with my grandfather playing.
Oh,
she doesn't have that.
And those memories are only triggered sometimes by seeing those photos.
Yeah,
seriously, the picture of me that I tore, that got torn that day at my house, there's only, because I'm a third child, there's only two pictures of me between the ages of 0 and 14. And that's one of them.
That's one of them.
Come on.
No, I'm the third kid you do not
Nobody
take
cares.
Pictures of. No one cares.
Yeah, the camera's
the
already...
interest is gone.
Camera's gone.
My brother did a...
Harrison does love that photo. She's still in the chat.
Oh, no, she does.
My brother did a Throwback Thursday picture this last week of my sister and I, and it's so hysterical because she was the third. And it was actually a picture of me, and it's her head is like in the corner, and he goes, oh, this is a family picture of Kate and Morgan. And I literally had to go, wait, is that Morgan?
Yeah.
Because it's like one pigtail.
And when you get to third kid, you're like, have we not photographed these people enough? Do we need another one? So there's no pictures. Like all the time, I was in North Carolina every summer from the time I was five years old till 14. There's one photo of me in North Carolina. I've never seen it. I know what t-shirt I'm wearing because I remember the flash going off in my face.
Okay, good. Yeah, so you have the memory at
Who has that picture?
Who knows?
Oh, okay.
Whoever developed that film for my mother and took it somewhere and put it somewhere, there's
Ruthie.
A picture of me in a Curie Beach.
Oh, Ruthie.
Because she was done. She's like, I photographed the first two. Wasn't that enough?
Yeah.
And the blonde one's pretty. Can't we be done? Because my parent, and you can't fault them because you see people with their children and you're like, that one juggles knives.
Yeah.
We just don't care.
Yeah. Because the first one, you don't know if you're going to have any more.
That's
this is
so
first.
True.
There's a commercial that shows the woman, you know, she's so careful with the first baby. And by the time
she
hands
commercial.
It off, would you just hold him for a
I
second?
I love it. She forgets him. Yeah.
No, well,
and my sister, too, like my folks, you know, we were very carefully watched over. And my sister walked to her babysitter's. Hopefully she got there.
Yeah.
And then like
and no one
my
checked.
Parents would pick her up way later after they got done with their day.
Because we have the heir, the spare, and then there's a third
and
kid
Morgan,
and we don't know what they're doing with that.
When I was growing up, we had dinner every single night, like together as a family. And Morgan was, involved in some athletics, but she would come home from school, make her own dinner, do her own homework by herself, and leave off to gymnastics. And nobody would see her until she got dropped off later at like 9 p.m. Like my brother and I were already asleep.
Juggling knives.
Yeah.
Juggling knives.
Yes, yes.
And it's the funniest thing. Like
my parents were like, Morgan's home.
Yeah,
that is it.
There's a third one somewhere. Look around.
God,
you'll find
Morgan
it.
And you are so the third.
Check the basement. I think they're down there in the basement.
Could be the noise you hear.
Which is so true.
Might be a cat dying, or it could be someone trying to sing. We're not really sure.
We are not
We don't know
sure.
who he is anyway.
And Harrison, I can't remember if Harrison's a fourth. I always forget if she's a fourth or a fifth because Tim and my friend Janelle that we grew up with, Tim has four older sisters and he's the only boy. My friend Janelle has four older brothers and she's the only girl. And Harrison, and we're all still friends, but we're all from that same dynamic of like older siblings and then us and like, whatever.
Yeah. The whatever kids.
But we should be the special child because we're the only one of our sex, but
We want to thank
Take
you for joining
a
us.
Of it later.
It's the show. It's a Tuesday night. You're with Katie, Al, and myself is Clayton McKee in Studio C. We are here every Tuesday from 7 to 10. Next week, Marnie Ryer will be back with us.
In that chair.
In that chair right there. But we will leave you with this comforting thought as we leave you on this Tuesday. We will
see you next Tuesday. All right, that went by in like 10 minutes.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.